much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, let's begin again.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Psycho Mike is really gay. Psycho Mike is really gay. Psycho Mike is really gay. Psycho Mike is really gay.
Are you tired of women? Fed up of their girly ways? Not sexually attracted to them? We have the solution for you. Try being gay. Being gay is an excellent way to remain sexually active while not involving the opposite sex. It's fun, it's easy, and it doesn't cost anything. Call now. You have absolutely nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. Except for your heterosexuality. Be gay today.
And now. Our feature presentation.
But if you don't start with heterosexuality, then you don't lose it. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a good point.
Not really a loss.
That's true.
Interesting.
Case of Mike.
Yes.
Right, exactly. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, although it may feel like a Wednesday because it's a holiday week, and we have time for your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. And if you're on the fence today, if you're thinking, yeah, I've got that thing I've been meaning to tell Kevin and Bean, but is it really worth it? Why bother? How about this? Farmer John prize pack, including tickets to see Los Doyers versus the Colorado Rockies, September 18th.
That's nice.
We are helping the Dodgers in their campaign to help make Farmer John the bacon-wrapped hot dog, the official hot dog of L.A. As you know, votelahotdog.org is my homepage. So
sure.
That's, I can't get enough of that. So 1-800-520-1067. If you've got something interesting to share, you'll win those Dodger tickets for being on the Kevin and Bean Show. Two things real quick. First, there's actually a little plastic card. It kind of looks like a credit card. And you can use it. You hold it up to the door outside of the radio stations. You can get in.
Oh, the key card.
It's called a key card.
Yes.
It's called a key card, yeah. That way you can let yourself into the building instead of showing up every single day and having to call somebody to send them out to come get you.
Right, yeah.
You should look into getting one of those. They're so cool.
I had one, but... Yeah, but I've done the search. You know how when you lose something, you go, well, it'll turn up someplace that I don't, I don't see coming. So I looked all over the house. Yesterday I did an entire search, and I have determined that it just disintegrated.
That's a genius idea.
Just disintegrated.
It's weird because I've had mine for so long.
I know. They give you a different one. Mine, they give me, and it self-destructs in like...
Oh, I see.
In like a couple of months, it literally self-destructs. So then it's just not anywhere. It's just gone.
It's gone.
Do you have your original card from when the radio station moved in 2000, Lisa? I do.
I don't. I have actually lost my card twice.
Wow. All right. But you've got no room to talk, Missy.
I don't.
I lose mine twice a year if I'm being, generous.
Yeah.
So. Right. I understand. It's just, it's funny every day when Psycho Mike looks at the phone and it's you calling. He goes,
I know.
It's just funny.
That's the noise make before I dial it.
1-800-520-1067. Here's the story I really wanted to talk about, though, because this is awesome. And this is one of those stories that you can play armchair lawyer, armchair judge, and decide how you would handle this. This is a man in Houston who was arrested for indecent exposure. He was just acquitted this week. The arrest happened back in August of 2008, but he was just acquitted for indecent exposure. What happened was he was at a shopping mall and went into the restroom, and he says that he was just having trouble peeing. He's a shy peer, okay?
Okay.
The mall security cop that arrested him after standing at the urinal for over 5 minutes is contending that he was, in fact, masturbating.
Oh, wow. Wait, in front of a urinal?
There are so many things about this story that I look at and go, if you're in a bathroom and that's what you decide to do, you go into a stall. It doesn't make any sense that you do it in front of a urinal because, A, that is not sexy. And, B, obviously you're in much more danger of getting caught as opposed to a private place that's 6 feet away that you can go, right?
It doesn't make any sense unless you want to get caught.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. It didn't sound – there's no not enough details in the story to tell me whether there were – I mean, I guess somebody must have seen him at some point. Somebody must have come in and said, hey, there's a guy standing at the urinal, and told security. And then they went in and arrested – actually, they didn't even arrest him in the bathroom. He was already out into the mall when they arrested him. But he was acquitted of the indecent exposure charge, and now he is suing the mall, claiming that he has suffered emotional and mental anguish.
He was acquitted. They just didn't have enough evidence, or
it doesn't say whether it was a jury or whether it was a judge who said there. Maybe they thought there wasn't enough evidence, or maybe they thought, how can there be indecent exposure for having your wang out in a men's restroom?
Well, that is a good point.
There's a difference between taking care of business and and waving it for all to see.
Yeah, and I don't know. See, again, this is a very frustrating story, and I always hate it when you read a news story that leaves so many questions unanswered. Because you know me, I'm a curious person, Kevin.
Sure,
I want to know. I want to know what somebody else who went into the restroom who saw this saw. I want to know what the actual complaint is based on, rather than just a guy. Because if a guy's just standing there, if you go in and pee, and there's a guy at the urinal, you don't care if he's there an hour. It doesn't make any difference to you. It doesn't matter to you, right?
Right. You just walk up. You do your business. You walk away. You don't care.
So, people are speculating. They're like, look, if you're there for 5 minutes and you can't pee, you just zip up and try again later. You don't just stand there all day long. Well, so clearly he was people are guessing.
Maybe Paul Blart was just a little overzealous. You know what I mean?
Well, that's possible.
He's just bored. He hasn't done anything in a year. So he feels like he has to do something to justify it, his existence. Well,
I wonder if he has a claim about the emotional and mental anguish of the shopping mall. Depending on what the circumstances were under his arrest, I just wonder if that's going to hold water.
I mean, if you really weren't doing anything, that would be pretty damn embarrassing. And if we've heard about it, I imagine people where he lives have heard about
it. That's the best. If he was my friend, I would never let him forget it.
I love the headline, Man Sues Says He Was Not Masturbating.
All right, time for your phone calls. Again, we have Dodger tickets. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We'll take your calls, put you on the air, and give you a prize.
Sorry, you must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
I don't know what I'm going to do if the bacon-wrapped hot dog does not become the official hot dog of L.A. I mean, is it even worth living in L.A. anymore if that's the case? I mean, is that a world you want to live in if that's not recognized as the official hot dog of L.A.?
It can be your own personal official.
That's true.
Hot dog.
I already have my own personal picture on that. Let's try Chase, line 3, although it says 2 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Chase. Welcome to the program. What's going on?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo? I wanted to talk about the new Axe commercial. Have you guys seen it?
The new Axe commercial. I'm not sure.
For the Axe body wash. It starts out with these two golf balls, and the lady takes them, and she says they're dirty and starts washing them. And she hands them to the other co-host on the commercial, and she says, "I'll check out these balls." And it closes up on him, and she just sits there fondling some golf balls for like 2 minutes.
Really?
2 minutes? Wow.
And then this PE teacher stands up at the end of the commercial, and he has a ball, like a bag of soccer balls. And he goes, "What about my ball sack?"
Wow.
No way.
There's no way all that's real. It's too good to be.
I swear.
On TV.
Yeah, on TV, and the PE teacher is that the one guy, the PE teacher from Mad TV.
Are you sure this isn't, especially when you mention that, are you sure this isn't a parody commercial? This is not a comedy version of an Axe commercial?
No, it's the Axe commercial because me and my girlfriend were watching it and we're like, no way is that allowed on actual TV.
I have no information to base this on, but I think Chase is full of it.
I think he's sketchy also. I really do. But thank you for the call. Hang on for your Dodgers tickets. Let's try Casey, line 1, has a pee-related story. Hey, Casey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
Hey, what's going on, guys? What it do, nephew?
What it do?
I was at Long Beach Superior Court last week, and while I was in the restroom taking a leak, this guy's over there. He's doing something weird in front of the urinal, and he doesn't realize a cop's standing right behind him.
Right.
He's already in trouble for being at the court. He's tagging on the urinal.
What?
He's tagging on the urinal. The cop asks him what the hell he's thinking. He's like, "Who the hell are you?" The cop throws him up against the urinal. He tries to shove the pen under his nuts. The cop asked him to drop his pants and drop the pin, and the guy's refusing to do it. He ends up, after arguing with him for a while, he ends up taking him out, and he gets arrested right in the restroom inside the courthouse, already in trouble.
Well, that literally, that guy deserves that.
I hope that's strike three.
What an idiot.
I do, too. I do, too. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to tag in a courthouse with a police officer in the restroom. That's awesome. Hey, what were you there for, and did you get away with it?
I was there for a traffic ticket.
And?
Yep.
Get away with it?
Nope.
Didn't get away with it. Cop showed up.
Okay.
All right. Thank
Bummer.
You.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Hang off your tickets. One more. Let's do Eric on the real line, too. Yeah, Eric. He's got an update on our sketchy caller number one.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Hey there.
How to do? What to do, baby boo?
How did it do?
Hey, no, Chase is absolutely right. That commercial, I saw it last night, and I was on the floor laughing.
All right.
It was the greatest commercial I've ever seen.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, it's great. Yes. What about my ball sack? Just leave it right there.
See, now, when Eric says that, I believe it.
Yeah.
Eric? I don't know. It's just you get a gut about people, you know?
It's a good one, man. You guys got to see. Go on YouTube. It's on there.
Yeah, it's got to be on YouTube. Exactly.
King of Mexico just said, put up a note that we already played that and put it in our internet roundup.
Okay.
You know, we do so many of those. How are you going to remember?
Yet it's news to all of us. Okay, that's great. Thank you very much for the call, Eric. Hang on for your tickets.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, that's outrageous.
Today is a very important day, as it is the beginning of the NFL season.
Yeah! That is true.
Could not be more excited.
You've been waiting.
That. Rich Eisen from the NFL Network we will talk to.
Okay.
About their coverage, about the game today, about the season, what to expect. Mm-hmm. Love it. Can't wait. We are going to talk about what's wrong with Jennifer Aniston.
Nothing. She seems lovely.
Now, I know that's the point, but she's breaking up with, or somebody's breaking up with her, every 3 months.
Well, she isn't doing well with relationships.
Right.
That's true.
But then you look at her and you go, well, I don't know. Hot. You know, seems nice.
Seems real nice.
Great. Seems like a great sense of humor. Mm-hmm. We don't know her personally because, you know.
Clearly likes the beach.
Sure.
Sure. See her in the bikini all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something going on that we don't know about. And we want to know if you've got a sense of what it is. If you've been able to put your finger on what must be wrong with her that's driving all these dudes away. Because on the surface, you look at her with her personality and her intelligence and her ability and her looks. And you go, how can she not be a winner?
Unless she doesn't want it. But then she's come out and said she did, right?
Yeah, I think she does. Hmm. I think she's heading toward being a lonely cat lady. I really do.
Excellent. More on the Bjork record, which is just sweeping
the
country.
There's
more? Oh, it's just going, now everyone's playing it. No, I'm just kidding. No one would dare play that. Coming up today, we also have Petros Papadakis in the studio talking about college football.
Excellent.
Which is also, gearing up. And we have Dr. Drew, as we do every Thursday. So that's coming up as well. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That's next. New album comes out on Tuesday. That is Brandon Flowers on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5:51.
Offspring on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also Audio Slave and a little band called Muse. I think you know what that means. When you hear Muse play anytime on our show, including in the next hour, be caller 20. Find yourself at the Muse soundcheck and maybe win a guitar from the band handed to you from Matt himself right off the stage. So that's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, it's Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
What did you do with your key card?
What did you do?
It just disappeared. Not my fault.
How many of these do you think you've gone through? Seriously.
Seriously? 20?
Gotta be, right?
Yeah.
Gotta be
20
of them.
Probably.
That's a lot.
It is. It's
most
more...
people, Lisa, had lost hers twice.
Yeah. And that's more than most, I think.
Right. I've never lost mine.
Right. Yeah.
Mike's never lost his.
Right.
I've never lost mine.
All right.
But you don't come in and out of the office that often, so you probably don't use that often.
But he wouldn't. Bede wouldn't.
He wouldn't. Even if he had to every day, he'd hold on to his.
Yeah.
20?
Yeah, probably. And that's
and they're big honking things, too. They're even larger than a credit card. They're like a big honking piece of plastic.
Heavier, thicker than a credit card.
Yeah. I just feel like if you have a wallet, it's unlikely you'll ever lose your key card because you bring your wallet to work every day.
Don't.
Kevin doesn't have a wallet.
I mean, I have one, but I don't bring it to work.
I just put one in my pocket.
Where do you keep your driver's license and credit cards? Things that you might need on
He hasn't seen those in years. He hasn't seen those in years.
I haven't seen those in years.
The day that Kevin came in and said, guys, I was on a plane yesterday, and I realized afterwards that I lost my wedding ring and my pants. That's when I knew that we were dealing with a very special kind of man.
He's special.
That was odd.
Come from my pants.
Well, I changed into shorts. It's not like I... Oh, never mind.
someone is a young lady who's got her wedding ring and pants from her little excursion in the Mile High Club, a little souvenir from our
a
boy.
Lot of memories.
I wish it was that good a story.
All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news. Big day for Snooki yesterday.
Oh, wow. All right. Every day's a big day for Snooki.
Yeah, but this was especially big. She was in court having to face those charges of being a public nuisance, disorderly conduct, drunken in public. Public nuisance, by the way. I got hours and hours of evidence from MTV. I can show them where they put her away, a felony count of public nuisance.
Yeah.
Turns out that the judge there, Damian Murray, took his opportunity to grab the spotlight and told her in front of everyone, "You are a Lindsay Lohan wannabe."
Wow.
"Your drunken behavior on the boardwalk was rude and self-indulgent." And then told her to decide if it was worth trading your dignity for a paycheck.
She said, "I already decided that.
I have dignity."
Yeah, apparently she pled guilty to the annoyance charge, and the other two charges were dropped. $533 in fines, and she's got two mandatory days of community service.
She had to pay $500 because she's annoying. Because
she's an annoying drunk.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Another day, another crappy reality show. This time, apparently, Brooke Mueller has a show in the works.
Is that Charlie Sheen's wife?
Soon to be ex, yeah.
Okay.
You can start a whole cottage industry with reality shows based on Charlie Sheen's ex-wives.
Yeah.
They all seem to get one. TMZ.com says she is going through a hardcore physical fitness program so she can look good for the cameras when she self-destructs and makes everyone hate her. So you want to look good when that's going on.
Sure.
This is a fascinating story. Another one from TMZ.com. Gentleman by the name of Fernando Flores claims that while he was a bodyguard for one Ms. Britney Spears, she exposed herself in front of him and made, in his words, repeated unwanted sexual advances. He is suing her for sexual harassment and abuse. That's how beat she is, by the way.
Yeah.
If you're a bodyguard and she goes, "Look at this, y'all. You want this?" You're like, "Oh, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue you for showing me that and for asking me to do that with you."
Back in the day, that was a dream.
Oh, are you kidding me? You got to be lined up to be her bodyguard. Let me guard a nipple. I don't have to guard the whole body. Let me just guard just your thigh.
This isn't the first story we've heard where she walks around naked all the time.
No, apparently that's her thing.
Yeah.
He also goes on to say in the lawsuit that Brittany asked him on at least one occasion for his belt so she could use it to hit her son, Preston.
Oh, my. Wow.
Sweet.
Wow.
And he claims that she has fed both of her kids crab meat, even though they both have very severe shellfish allergies.
Those are far more serious charges than the sexual harassment.
Huh? So once again, mother of the year?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Got to say, right? Speaking of being a mom, In Touch Weekly magazine has started the rumor that Kat Von D may be in a, what they say, delicate condition.
Is that right?
In the midst of her relationship with Jesse James. Primarily, the rumor goes on to say it's because it's odd that they would go public with their relationship so soon, and because they claim her tummy is looking a little bigger these days, in the words of this story.
I hope that's true. If it's not true, it's so insulting.
Yeah, it's like, put down the donuts, Kat. hope she's pregnant.
We saw her about two weeks ago. About 2 weeks ago, she was in, though. Yeah. She looked good, I thought.
Yeah,
she
but did. maybe the baby bump is starting to show since.
Yeah, maybe.
Look. Would In Touch Weekly magazine say it if it wasn't true?
That's a good point.
Most of the time.
That's true. Lady Liar! Still doesn't have the best public image, but apparently she's rehabbed enough to land some new gigs. She is reportedly the new face of a fashion line. For Narina is the name of the fashion line, and she is appearing in some ads for them, sporting long brown hair in the newest ads, but at least she's making a paycheck as a model, at least.
She's still beautiful.
Very, very much so. I thought that in Machete as I was watching. She really is still just a really sexy, attractive woman.
Although I have a question for you. The pool scene looked like a stunt double.
It wasn't her. It was not her in the pool.
I've read that she's used a body double for pretty much
all of
that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that body double.
No, it was not her in the pool. That was the scene. They used the actual footage that was shot for the trailer for Machete. Remember the original trailer for Machete?
Yeah.
That scene of Machete getting it on with the two girls in the pool.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Was footage from the trailer. They just recycled that footage in the film.
Got it.
But Lindsay is not her in the pool. Machete. But it's her laying naked all over the couch and in the back of that hearse and everywhere else we see her naked.
It is.
Looking at nuns' habits.
And Jessica Alba in the shower.
She's naked.
They could have lingered a little more there.
I agree with whatever you just said.
Yeah.
This is Machete.
Lindsay, by the way, did you hear she hit a nanny in a stroller in her Maserati last week?
Are you kidding?
She just nicked it.
She just touched?
She just nicked it. She stopped. Everybody okay? I lost my key card. She said.
Babies are pretty resilient, though.
Sped off. Yeah. How'd she get a Maserati, by the way?
Must be renting, right? Well, didn't somebody give her one last year? She got one as a gift from somebody. But this is a different one.
From like a porn producer.
Yeah, like a porn producer.
It was one of her friends.
Like
yeah, or friends of a friend. He just gave her a car. I don't remember if it was the Maserati or not, but for sure.
I don't have friends
payment.
Like that.
I know. Down payment for future work.
Future porn?
Yeah.
And speaking of Machete, Robert Rodriguez is already talking sequel. God bless him. I can't wait. Meanwhile, the Moral Majority website movie guide. You think they liked Machete? Do you think the Moral Majority? Mm-hmm. Think they're friends?
I'm going to go with yes. I bet they like it
Kevin,
a lot.
You'd be sadly disappointed.
Oh.
The website calls the film one of the worst movies ever made.
Oh, how dare they.
Claiming that it is pro-communist. Anti-Christian, and likely to spawn a real-life revolution. They must have been so moved by Jessica Alba's speech on top of the cars that they thought it was a real call to arms.
It is.
The border didn't cross us, Kevin. Or we didn't cross the border, Kevin. The border crossed us.
It is cartoonishly over the top,
yes.
But it's pretty cartoonish. So you go, well, that's not real. There's no real danger there.
They second the film only to Lars von Trier, the director's film Antichrist, as a lightning rod for God's wrath. So wow. Robert Rodriguez rather had better have someone start his car for him. That's all I'm saying.
Do you think they're going to be happy with Thanksgiving?
Yes, that they will enjoy.
Like that?
Yeah. Well, it's a holiday.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you. Thanksgiving, white meat, dark meat, all will be carved. Thanksgiving from director Eli Roth. Thanksgiving. You'll come home for the holidays in a body bag.
Yeah.
All will be carved.
They will be so behind that.
Would you go see that movie today
yes.
if it were in theaters?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Twice.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Hugh Grant is 50 years old today. Actor-comedian Adam Sandler celebrates his 44th birthday. Model Rachel Hunter celebrates her 41st birthday. Jazz singer Michael Bublé turns 35 years old. You know how popular Michael Bublé is?
Yeah, it's crazy.
He sells out major, major arenas. My parents wanted to see him. I tried to get tickets, and you can't get tickets.
Same here. My wife wanted to
Nuts.
See him. And I was like, oh, I'll try and get him for you. And they said,
how hard could I get Bublé tickets?
Right. That's what I thought.
We can get tickets for Rage Against the Machine and stuff, like real bands. No, sorry. Not available.
It was like a month out.
No Bublé for you. They're Bublé Nazis over there. That's what they were. Actress Michelle Williams is 30 years old today. And NFL wide receiver Riley Cooper. He's a rookie this year. He is 23 years old today. Former roommate of Tim Tebow, big-time college quarterback. He is 23. What team does Riley play for? Let me see if I can look it up.
If you brought
here.
It up, let me
Riley
see if I can
Cooper,
imagine.
Riley Cooper, wide receiver. Let me see. He's in the NFL with
E-A-G-L-E-S
Eagles.
When's your first game?
Sunday against the Packers. The Fudge Packers. That's right. I said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. That means our weekly visit with Dr. Drew, who's a doctor, by the way, the same way Captain Crunch is really in the military. That's how much of a doctor that dude is. But he's joining us later on today. And while we're speaking about our favorite regulars on the Kevin and Bean Show, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the P, Petros Papadakis.
What a do.
What up?
Welcome back from Hawaii. Is that some sort of a souvenir T-shirt you're wearing from the Big
Aloha.
Island?
Aloha. No, this is just my normal Dahui T-shirt that I walk around with all the time. You know, here on the North Shore, we treat our friends more better. Nobody listens to Turtle.
Well, we have an awful lot of P is our college football hookup. We have a lot of college football that we need to discuss because it was a fascinating week one. But we might as well start with USC just because that's the big national. That's one of the big national stories because
I'm doing the game. I'm doing the game on Saturday on FSN. I think it's a night game. I hope it's a night game. Virginia, USC. So it'll be very exciting. I'm going to call that game and a lot of USC talk, a lot of USC people, a lot of USC jerseys, a lot of arthritic fight on fingers, a lot of fight on for old SC.
Right, but what I was in the middle of a sentence saying is that there's a great deal of attention on USC because of all the sanctions this year and what that's going to mean for the team. And, I mean, there were a lot of eyes on that game last week in Hawaii to see what the new face of USC was going to look like.
Yeah, and it's a lot different, let's be honest. I mean, USC has a new president who's a Greek dude with an accent, Max Nikias. I mean, come on. I'm walking around the Aloha Stadium there, and I hear, Tikana Tere! Look at it's Max Nikias, the new president of USC, and he's kind of cleaned up the house there. I don't know if he fired Mike Garrett, but Mike Garrett retired right when Max took over, and he hired Pat Hayden, who's a really safe guy and a really beloved member of the USC football family and the city of Los Angeles, let's be honest. They have another athletic director, a special athletic director, J.K. McKay, John McKay's son, who looks over the football program. They have a new football coach. They have a brand-new coaching staff, but I got to admit, I was out there in Hawaii, and when I wasn't being harassed by dorks wearing Reggie Bush jerseys, I was calling a football game and dealing with the whole kind of scene, and USC was uninspired defensively in that game. I mean, they had some glaring, just flashing red flags in that game. They didn't play well.
Wouldn't it be difficult, though, if you were a player under these circumstances?
Well,
it would be for me.
No, not anymore. I mean, you could maybe say that in the 70s or something that.
I mean, right after the sanctions, you can't go to the
bowl. I know what you're saying. Oh, okay. I think that you could say that back in the day, but the truth is now, and I wish it meant something different. You know, for me, personally, because I grew up in that locker room and my dad played there, playing for USC was good enough. I mean, I wasn't really thinking about anything past that, but even a broadcasting career, none of that. I was concentrating on, you know, it was not that it was my dream, but here I am. I play football at USC. Was a big deal to me.
Yeah.
The guys
you had made it.
Yeah. The guys that play at USC now go there for one reason, and they go there to play in the NFL. They all believe that they're going to play in the NFL. All their eyes, sanctions or no sanctions, are on the NFL, and all the eyes of the NFL people, the scouts, the front office people, are on USC, and that will never change. So that's why they go to USC. That's why they go to Alabama. That's why they go to Notre Dame. These guys don't care about championships that much. They don't care about a bowl game. The playoff thing in college football is so much more important to fans and people around these universities than it is to the actual guys playing. The guys playing want what? They want to play in the NFL. They want to make big money, and they want you guys to wear their jerseys. He's at sports bars in L.A. on Sundays and dork out.
They want to make any money is what they want to make.
Well,
right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, you know, you're on a full scholarship at a university. It's a lot of money, and you have a lot of privileges. But it is an eight-hour-a-day job, and you get your head turned into a canoe by 300-pound dudes every day. But other than that, you know, it's a pretty good deal.
It is interesting, though, that they all have the dream of the NFL, but they can look at the statistics and see how unlikely it is that any individual player is ever going to make it there, because most don't.
Yeah, but if you're at USC, you have a look. Like, you could be a backup quarterback like Matt Castle was at USC and get paid $63 million to play quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, there are stories like that from USC players from back before my dad played there to when I played there. Guys that didn't even play that much at SC that ended up having long pro football careers just because they're so chocked full with talent. And USC, whether or not they play inspired football, whether or not they win, I'm the captain of the worst football team in USC history.
Which you proudly claim all the
Troy
time.
Troy Polamalu was on that team. Carson Palmer was on that team. That. And we're talking about NFL superstars and about 10, 15 other guys that played in the NFL. It was the same as it always was. USC is always going to be the most talented team on the West Coast. They're always going to have a bunch of guys going into the NFL. Whether that manifests itself on the field with their play is something that we have to kind of decipher year in and year out. And I was a little disturbed with the way, not that I care if they win or lose, but I was a little disturbed with just the way they played defense. The offense was fine, but they're playing against Hawaii. You're supposed to look like that against Hawaii. I mean, they're a bunch of skinny Polynesian guys that if they could get off the island and play somewhere else, they would have. I mean, that's just the truth.
The Trojans gave up almost 600 yards.
588!
Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was and I called the game on the radio. You know, like Matt does national radio games, and right. I do national TV games, and it's a little different. I've not never done color analysis on a national radio. 4 hours of talking. No pictures to tell the story.
How is that difficult for you, though?
I got
it. You can talk.
It was humid.
Okay.
it was very
humid. You know what's weird about you is you went to USC, you played for USC. Most people who even attended USC for a year, they're diehard Trojans for life. You know, that's the same with Nebraska and any of the other huge...
Well, there's two reasons. One is, first of all, I grew up in their locker room.
Right.
And I didn't really know what was going on as a kid. I was just looking into a bunch of giant yellow asses, you know, and just screaming and praying and yelling every Saturday. I would sit in that locker room and stare into everybody's yellow ass.
Right.
And then I would go to the sideline and stare into everybody's yellow ass.
But how do you, as a former player, not care if they win or not?
I'm the Pac-10 football analyst. I worked for FSN. I don't.
Okay, whatever.
Well,
I
can't root on the air.
Right.
I don't root on the air, so I just kind of live it. I just kind of live. You know, around when I was 20, and you'll see this now with the Reggie Bush situation. I'm sure we'll get into it, whether or not he's going to give back his Heisman or something like that.
Somebody's going to break into the middle of the night and steal it?
Well, yeah, they should. He should just give it back. But the point is, you know, you have to kind of figure out what you are to them and what they are to you. And the sooner you figure that out as a young guy or as a player or after you played, the better off you'll be personally. And I think I figured that out around 20 years old. It was the best epiphany I ever had in my life. And it led to adjustment for me. You know, I'm not going to sit there and flip out because the game's going to happen either way. And the outcome is going to be the outcome either way. Why do I have to get all emotional and freak out about it? I know individuals. I have relationships. I root for guys all over the Pac-10. But I'm just an observer. And that's what I meant to do. Now, people never believe that. They will never believe that.
Well, that's because everyone who attended there has a USC sign in their front yard.
Right, except for me. Yeah, I don't.
That's
I have a game ball in my house that I got at the Penn State game in 2000, and it's painted, and it's in a yellow, or it's in a big clear box, and my wife put it up.
Is that for scoring a touchdown?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
But, Pete, I think the reason people don't believe you is because most of us don't root intellectually. We root emotionally.
Yeah, I believe, and it's hard for me because whenever I do a game, no matter who, let's say I'm doing USC UCLA or right. USC, let's make it even simpler, USC Arizona State.
Right.
Okay, all the USC people say, oh, well, he's not a real Trojan. Petros criticizes Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush and Pete Carroll. He's not a real Trojan. Look at him. Look at him. He thinks he's better than us. They say that. And then the other people, the A-State people, say, well, how can we listen to this guy? He went to USC. So either way, I'm screwed.
So everyone hates you.
No matter what, I'm screwed. So I just keep it down the middle, and I think one thing that makes me smile, Psycho Mike.
Okay.
Really?
And his yellow ass.
But he always looks good.
Doesn't Matt Leinart's success in the NFL make you think, wow, maybe I was wrong about him?
You know, I wish there was somebody, and this is, no one gives me credit, so I have to do it for myself.
All right, yes.
I wish there was somebody out there, like a fat, lisping, bitter Greek sports talk radio host and television commentator.
Right.
That knew that Matt Leinart was a douchebag.
Was going to be a bust.
That knew.
Well, no, douchebag is different because douchebags can be good players
in
the NFL.
And I always said that. I say he's a bag and it's going to hurt him as a player because he was such a bag and he had such a sense of entitlement and he didn't want to compete. He had such a bad attitude that it trumped his talent in the NFL. He didn't want to compete for it. I wish there was somebody that said Reggie Bush is a bad guy and he really screwed up. I wish there was a fat...
You said that.
Maybe a lisping Greek with his tongue too big for his mouth. Maybe right. Maybe a guy
such
who's
a
got
narrow.
A guy with eczema. Maybe, you know, is there a guy like that?
That same guy said that Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be a much more successful back than Reggie Bush in the NFL.
If only such a man existed. And maybe if he
if
had
he did,
a cadaver bone.
Show,
maybe he had a cadaver bone in his right foot. You know, maybe he just interrupted Bean whenever he started talking. Maybe there's a guy like that. Maybe one day we'll meet
I
him.
I hope. And if we do meet him, we'll have him in.
It's like John Galt. Who is he? Ah, that just went over.
No Ayn Rand
reference. Come on, Bean. Nothing. Kind of a shrug.
Bean, you get that?
Son of
Petros Papadakis is here. We'll return with more. There's a lot of college football to discuss right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. All this week on The Kevin and Bean Show, when you hear us play any song by that band, just be caller 20, and you'll find yourself at the Muse Soundcheck. You might actually win Matt Bellamy's guitar. He's going to hand it to you from the stage. It could be our friend Chad Guile. He's our latest winner. He was caller 20 when he heard that song. You'll have another chance to win coming up. That's Petros Papadakis in the studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right
Skin
now. Of course,
tight Ed Hardy.
He is the co-host of the nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show. Hey, real quick before we talk about this this weekend's, I guess actually there's college football tonight, but
is there?
Most of the games are this weekend. I know you will. I have to ask because I saw the 72-0 Oregon score last week.
Yes, Oregon is pretty good.
72-0, though. You see those a couple of times a season. What's the deal on something like that? There's no such thing as a mercy rule. There's no such thing as let's pull out all of our guys and put in the B team.
It's
what's
not
the deal?
Little League, and they did put in the B team, and the B team was moving up and down the field. Here's the deal. Oregon, they played New Mexico, so they played an FBS school. I mean, they played a real school. It wasn't a D2 or an FCS is what we'd call them now. It wasn't UC Davis or Sacramento State. They might have done better against Oregon that day. But Oregon is a unique football thing. They have the whole Nike thing behind them. They wear all the different uniforms. All the players have video games and things in their lockers. And if you go into their training facility, it is the most it's better than a Four Seasons. It's nothing it's nothing like anything I've ever seen before. And I've been in there two or three times, and it always just I was just up there 3 weeks ago, and I had to just go in there to look at it. Waterfalls, tile, jacuzzis with treadmills, and I'm just ridiculous. they have an abundance, an embarrassment of Nike money at Oregon, and it's a very loud stadium. And their coach, who I don't know if Nike just built him like a robot or something, or where he came from. He came from New Hampshire. This guy Chip Kelly, who I like very much, always wears the visor way low on his eyes. He's the most innovative coach in America. I've never seen a practice look like that. You know, everybody in the NFL and college, there's not a lot of new things under the sun in football. Right. Remember, everybody was talking about the Wildcat. Oh, the Wildcat. Oh, it's a Wildcat quarterback. Oh, he might come in and run the Wildcat. And, oh, we got this new Wildcat thing. The Wildcat's just a single wing from back in the day. It's like everything old is new again. It's like remaking Starsky and Hutch with Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson. It's just, that's the nature of football, except
how
this
is he
guy.
Different?
It's just so weird. Their practice, it's different than anybody else practices. It's like Cirque du Soleil. I mean, they fly up and down the field.
Really?
The ball's all moving all over the place. They have multiple handoffs and pitches. It's really hard to describe because I'd never seen anything like it, and he's a really interesting guy. So Oregon might do that a lot this year. They're going to Tennessee on Saturday. They might score 50 at Tennessee and 110,000 people, as long as they have a quarterback. Now, you remember their quarterback was a guy, Jeremiah Masoli. They got busted for stealing something. Then he got busted for weed.
I was not aware of that
one. And now he's at Ole Miss, and he found a loophole, and he's eligible playing this year. They just got upset by Jacksonville State. So this guy's gone, and so much is predicated in Chip Kelly's offense on the quarterback. So they found a guy, Darren Thomas, and they looked unbelievable. And when it's 72-0, I've been on the wrong side of some pretty lopsided scores. Nothing like that.
Don't you just want the game to end?
Oh, God. Well, you're clock watching. Even if you're winning or anything, you're always calling. College football players and pro football players are always clock watching. They want the game to be over. You know why? Because it effing hurts. It hurts a lot.
And we forget about that.
Oh,
when we're
God,
watching.
It's the most painful. And the other thing is the pressure is beyond belief. Like, I used to carry the ball at USC, and they used to say horrible things like, it's better to die when you're young than fumble the football. You know, or they say, you know, when you're holding the football, you're holding the entire university's fortunes and the coaches' families and your teammates and the faculty and everybody. They're all under your arm. Don't you fumble, you bastard! You know, and you know, I would stay up all night in the hotel and knock on wood and you know, and I'm not unique. We would all say these mantras, please God help me not fail. You know, so you're happy when the game's over, whether it's 72-0 in your favor or out of your favor. You just want it
just
to be
just
because
the pressure
over.
Is off.
Yes,
it's for another couple days.
For another couple days, and then you jump right back into it. But I remember calling a game that was 70-7. USC Arkansas. Arkansas, an SEC team. USC Arkansas in the Coliseum, I think it was 04 or 05, called a game that was 70-7. And what do you say at the end of that game? I was reading my driver's license. On the air. I had nothing to say. It was a brutal, brutal, brutal thing.
There aren't a lot of repeat college football champions,
no,
are there, P?
But
doesn't
there might be one
often.
This year. We might get it this year.
That's what I was asking about, because I know that everybody is saying is Alabama is just as good as they were last year, and they certainly looked at this past week. I mean, do you think they're the one that's most likely to do it?
Yeah, until somebody knocks them off, I think it's Alabama. I mean, they're so well coached, and Nick Saban is not a likable guy. He is their coach. He's a little gnome, angry, just bitter football man, and he's got feathered hair. I mean, my father
can't abide that.
My dad has feathered hair. And whenever I see feathered hair, I just think of the backhand coming to hit me. You know, my father once backhanded me while I was eating, and the fork went through my cheek.
Oh,
yeah, and I cried all the way to school. And then he dropped. He didn't even slow down. He just booted me out of his Suburban on the doorstep.
Look, this is as slow as I'm going. You better jump.
Rough chop with the fork. You know, with this fork mark still in my cheek. It's just an awful morning.
Well, maybe this explains some of Petros's anger.
Yeah, my father played at USC.
One of the things that I love about following college sports, and this is true, yes, you really see this up close when the NCAA basketball tournament happens, is that schools you never think about, all of a sudden you become invested in, you love. And there's so many college football teams that last week, for instance, everybody was talking about Boise State, that unbelievable game that they won at the last minute for the team they never should have beat. I love those types of stories with schools that beat people they're not supposed to beat. That's what's so fun every weekend.
And Boise State is a really interesting phenomenon, and that's exactly what they are. They're a phenomenon. This is a little tiny school in a little tiny market. It in non-BCS conference, so basically they don't play a good schedule.
Right.
And week in and week out, they don't play teams like Alabama does in the SEC or SC does in the Pac-10 or so on and so forth, Big 12, Big East, ACC. They just don't have that kind of schedule. But whenever they play anybody else, they beat them. They find a way to win. They're so beautifully coached. Wow. But it's going to be difficult for them, once again, to get into the championship. And you're going to have these people that kind of rise up for them that are like freedom fighters. And they're going to say, oh, they should be in there. And then the other guys in the big conferences say they shouldn't be in there. It's a big-time argument. But a one-loss team from any of the big conferences would get in before an undefeated Boise State. And we'll have this conversation throughout the season. It'll be a long, arduous, very difficult conversation. Because there's so many contradictions in the world of college football. Because you can't have a 64-team tournament. You just can't. So there's always going to be somebody who's butthurt about where they end up because there's so many freaking teams.
That argument every single year.
And it just gets old. And my thing is, it's all changing. We're always changing in college football. It's constantly moving and morphing and changing ever since it started in the early 1900s or the 1800s, late 1800s. So it's always going to move. It's always going to change. We can just enjoy it for what it is and not sit here and argue and freak out and get impassioned about that. But that's part of what they want. They like the conversation because it keeps them in everybody's mind. They have a unique game. It's different from the NFL, and people love to watch it. People really do. They respond to it, and they're passionate about it. And, you know, I got them all upset, people all upset this week when I said, or last week when I said, stop wearing your jersey on the effing plane. I don't want to see who you're rooting for on the plane. And people got so mad at me, and I understood that. You know, I need that anger. I need people to get mad at me because that's the interest in college football. They're a bunch of impassioned people.
Does anyone like you?
I think Psycho Mike and I, Ralph, and I, producer Alex, I feel like Bean would like me better, you know, if no. Lisa May hugged me very tightly, and she looks lovely. My wife.
She doesn't like you either.
Yeah.
About half the time.
First home game, USC, tomorrow night. I mean, Saturday night at 7:30 on Fox Sports.
Yeah. And Matt's doing it on the radio, too, the national radio call, but I'm doing a TV. So
we
couldn't big face.
We couldn't get away from you guys if we wanted to this weekend.
Basically, no, we're everywhere. We cannot be escaped.
All right, Pete. Thanks for coming in, man.
All right, boy.
Audio Slave on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show and the new song from Jimmy Eat World called My Best Theory. Stick around for that. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Interesting casting news. Our buddy Joel McHale in the Showbiz News this morning.
Nice. Love
he
him.
Really owes us everything.
He does?
Really?
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah. Why?
Because he was on that little E! Show talking about, oh, look at this funny clip from Tyra Banks.
But he was good at it.
He was good at it. And we saw the show and said, why don't you come in and do our radio show and let's make you a star. Mm. And the next thing you know, he's on Community on NBC and he's in the Steven Soderbergh film. And
I'll
he's
go
just,
with that.
We are responsible for creating his career is what I'm saying.
It's not true, but I'll go with it.
He would have just withered away on the basic cable vine if we hadn't plucked him and served him up into a nice salad with a little balsamic and some olive oil. You know what I'm saying?
I can buy into that.
Anyway, sure. He is in talks with producers, according to Daily Variety, to co-star opposite Jessica Alba in the Robert Rodriguez sequel Spy Kids 4. Joel will play the dad of the new Spy Kids, Jessica, the mom. They will be husband and wife in the film.
That's a good role.
That is a good role.
Way to go, Joel.
Just too bad it's Spy Kids because it's made for kids. Mm-hmm. Too bad it's not rated R.
Oh, it will be. In 3D. Forecasting news, Gigi Zhang. Who you may know from Crouching Dragon, Hidden Tiger, Rush Hour 2, Memoirs of a Geisha.
I love her so much.
Why has he got to put his stink on everything?
Because I love her so much. Right, she's so beautiful. Right. So beautiful. Tell me more. What's
Can someone else go out with her, or do you call dibs on her, too, as your girlfriend? Like you did Rachel Nichols.
No. Rachel and I have something special. I'm willing to let this one go. But what's she doing? What's she going to be in? I want to go see it.
Yep. And then you're not.
She is going to be in a new English language version of the Chinese legend of Mulan.
Oh.
You may have seen the animated version, the Disney version, which was wildly successful. It was an animated musical in 1998. There was a sequel to that film in 2004. Now they're doing a live-action version of that Chinese legend. And Yan Deban, apparently the speed director, will be directing this film.
Okay. Right.
More casting news. Christina Hendricks from Mad Men.
Yes.
We'll be co-starring with Ryan Gosling and Carey Mulligan in a new movie called Drive with a fascinating concept. It's based on a very popular novel of the same name, and Ryan Gosling plays a Hollywood stunt driver who moonlights as a getaway driver for criminals. Pretty clever idea.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Also starring in the film will be Bryan Cranston and Albert Brooks, one of my favorite actors who just doesn't work nearly enough.
Pass. That
begins shooting here in Los Angeles later this month. The Hollywood crime beat. This is sad news. Adult film actress Alana Evans claims that she was raped at the Los Angeles home of R&B singer Brian McKnight.
Oh, that's ugly.
By the friend of one of Brian McKnight's sons.
Oh, man.
She says Brian was not home at the time. And Alana says the LAPD did nothing because the attacker claimed it was consensual sex. I'm guessing if you're a porn star, you probably don't get fair treatment under the eyes of the law when it comes to sex crimes because there's a predisposition to assume a certain sort of behavior and a certain kind of lifestyle, right?
Hmm, yeah, that's...
That's kind of rough.
Completely unfounded assumption, too, by the
Absolutely.
Way.
She went on to say that because she's a porn actress, she thought the police regarded her as less than human, in her words. Hmm. And so we don't know what's going to happen with this case, but Alana's not... Not being quiet about it.
Hmm.
We should be giving our hot porn stars all the benefit of the doubt, by the way.
That's what I say.
Should treat them better than regular people, I say.
University of Baltimore is offering a semester-long course on zombies. Why did they have these kind of courses when I was in college?
No kidding.
I'd like to take Zombies 101.
I would have majored
on
in zombies.
Fridays. Only in the afternoon, though. I can't get up too early because we party hard on Thursday nights, if that's okay with you. Apparently, the syllabus says the course will cover the following questions. Is Night of the Living Dead a simple zombie film or a subtle anti-war statement? It's a subtle anti-war statement. Do I pass the course? they say they will cover 16 classic movies from the 1932 Bela Lugosi classic White Zombie all the way through 2009 Zombieland, which is, by the way, the highest grossing zombie film ever to date. Did you know?
Oh,
that?
No.
I did not.
The professor says, on the most basic level, zombies are probably one of the most potent horror icons, the one closest to us in terms of identification factor, in terms of reflecting ourselves. The zombie is simply us.
There are several ways to kill a zombie, but the most satisfying one is to stab it in the brain with a wooden stick.
I'm guessing that the football team for the University of Baltimore needs an easy course. That's why they put this one up on athletes in the need. Books. Yeah.
By the way, you remember when we did the call-in topic of people who have their escape routes for when the zombies attack?
Yeah.
Yes.
And we could have taken calls all day with people who had planned it out in detail.
Costco. Go to Costco. Because the shelves are high. They've got a lot of food there. You can stay there forever. And they have, like, power tools you can fight the zombies with.
We need to do that again.
Yeah. What's your zombie plan?
It's a lot scarier now, zombies, since somehow in Hollywood they decided to flip the switch and make them move fast. Because for many, many years, we all could outrun zombies, but now all of a sudden, they're superhuman, it seems like.
Well, it wasn't about the speed in the old zombie movies. It was about their relentless attack and the fact that they attacked
so
in packs.
Yeah.
So they'd go, maybe busting through windows and stuff. No.
There is no quit in a zombie. That's true.
Right, man.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Hugh Grant is 50 years old today. Adam Sandler, actor and comedian, turns 44. Model actress Rachel Hunter celebrates her 41st birthday. Jazz singer Michael Bublé celebrates his 35th birthday. Michelle Williams, very talented and lovely actress, is 30. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Dr. Drew on the way because it's Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, our friend Rich Eisen from the NFL Network when we talk about the big boys playing the first game tonight with Saints, Vikings, and so much more that's going on. Hey, we've been talking about the new Bjork record a little bit. Can we hear some of that for folks who maybe haven't had the pleasure of hearing the Comet song?
This is real. You're going to think, wow, somebody's making that bad on purpose. This is meant to be good.
With our fingers we make million holes. We run and we fall into potholes.
So you get a sense of where that's going.
It only gets better.
Yeah.
And then it goes like that for about 3 minutes. Well, it's from a new children's movie based on the popular Scandinavian character, the Moomins. Bjork is very happy with the song. In fact, Kevin, I understand she's having a record release party. Producer Alex tipped us off to this and actually got us the location. I believe we have Bjork on the phone where she's celebrating the release of the Comet song. Hi, Bjork.
Hello. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
All of the angels are dancing around the lily pads, and many of the wasps have landed back on the outside of the orange.
Is that code? Are you giving some kind of code? Or
no, I'm not.
All right. Okay. Well, congratulations on that, I guess. So what's the deal? You're celebrating the release of this new single? Is that what's happening?
We're having a record release party for the celebration of the Comet song.
Right.
Okay.
I love it so much.
That song came out exactly like you wanted?
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, I make so many holes with my fingers.
Yeah.
I pull this song out of my butthole.
Yeah, it sounds like
it. Oh, the turtles, damn it. The comet's landing on mommy's tea and bed croquette.
Okay. Don't feel like you need to sing anymore, Bjork, actually.
Oh, it's such a good song.
Yeah, it sounds like you made it up as you were, like you walked into the studio with no lyrics and then just kind of sang whatever was on the top of your head.
That's not true. I worked very hard on this song.
You did.
It was blessed to me by all of the polar bears who came into my igloo, and then they all danced around with the salmon fish.
Okay. What's going on at the party? What happens beyond, hey, check me out, I have a new song?
All of my friends are here. Mm-hmm. All of my musical friends have joined me to celebrate the Comet.
Okay.
Damn it! Damn it! Comet song.
More of the lyrics of the song, right?
Gene Simmons is here from KISS. Do you know Gene Simmons?
What?
Yes, why would he be at a Bjork party? Are you kidding me?
No, hand over the phone here.
The reason I'm here is because I figured it was a good venture for me to make some money. Of course, don't be dumb. And also, I helped with production on the album. With our fingers, we made a million holes. Lisa May, speaking of holes.
All right. Thank you, Gene.
He's my good friend.
Oh, and by the way, is that Bob Dylan I see over there? Would you guys like to talk to Bob Dylan?
Are you kidding me? Bob Dylan's at the same party?
This is a star-studded party. Mr. Dylan. Mr.
Yeah.
Dylan.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
You finally found a singer worse than you.
The Comet song.
The Comet song, yes.
Oh, no. I sing it.
Oh, no.
I make a million holes. And run and fall in the pothole.
Okay, I don't know.
Well, come in. Damn it. This is the story of the hurricane. Yeah, he's
N-word,
not one.
Yeah. Okay, that's not necessary. who else is at a party that already includes Bob Dylan, Gene Simmons, and Bjork?
Down and Long here.
Who? I'm sorry, who?
Down and Long.
Yes,
Long.
Be Nemanah.
Oh, Tom DeLonge.
Yeah,
from Angels and Airwaves
here
and Blink-182.
I am
okay.
In the back of the room.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
How do you know Bjork?
Why the rings of Saturn. Yeah, that's where we play with the angels. We keep everything in the cosmos together. Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't believe the governor of California and former motion picture superstar Arnold Schwarzenegger's at this party.
What?
Why would Arnold Schwarzenegger be at a party for Bjork?
Because I'm embarking on a new career of music.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm getting out of, the governorship is over now for me, more or less. And so I'm going to, start recording. And Bjork's been kind enough to, help me develop some songs for me to put on my new record.
Can you sing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm doing a cover of the Comet song.
Nope.
My fingers, I make incredible holes, and then we run into we fall into potholes.
Okay.
I should really get filled up, but I don't have any money in the budget for it.
Yeah, you're not singing.
Comet damage. Ah, it's hot.
This is a crazy party. Surely there's no one else there.
No, Shirley's not here. No one named Shirley here.
Who is okay. Who else is there?
I mean, let me look around. Let me see who else is here.
You guys didn't really plan this out ahead of time, did you?
What plan? It's a party. There's no planning.
What about Anthony Kiedis? Is he there?
I think Anthony Kiedis is here. Okay. Don't you mention it.
All right. How did you know that, Kevin?
It was just
That's
a guess, because he seems like the kind of person who like
hello,
her.
Everybody.
Hey, Anthony.
How are you?
We're good.
Just sipping on some green tea with Bjork and the governor of California.
Inexplicably, right. Yeah. So we haven't heard much from you or the Red Hot Chili Peppers lately, but what are you doing at Bjork's party?
What do you think I'm doing? Hit it, Steve.
Holes, California, whacking a spang, biggity boom boom, dick bang, boom, 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 California.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
What?
It's
What's going on?
Musical here. I can't believe Ozzy Osbourne's at this party.
Ozzy's there.
Oh, wow.
Hello?
Ozzy?
Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean.
It's Kevin and Bean.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm singing on the song Bjork.
You're not singing on
the song. Don't feel like you need to.
Yeah, it's a Comet song. Well, make so many effing holes, and Kelly eats a lot of donut holes, and I don't know, Charlotte, what's the rest of the world?
Don't worry about it, Ozzy. We gotta go. You can email any of us anytime on the show if you've got something you think we ought to be talking about, or if you've got a comment about something that you've heard. All of our email addresses are at kevinandbean.com. Kevin, I want to start with some support for you. I know you took a lot of heat last week when we were doing Why Does Kevin Hate because of your unnatural dislike for Sandra Bullock.
She just bugs me. That's all. I don't hate.
Who, by the way, is beautiful and intelligent and, you know, just spends lots of time with – you know what she's doing right now instead of making $20 million a movie right now?
What?
She's building schools for kids in New Orleans. That's what she's doing right now. This is the woman that Kevin hates.
I don't hate. It just seems like she's putting on too much happiness. I don't buy it. That's all.
Well, you did get some support in the email bag from another Kevin Bean listener who happens to be named Kevin. Here's his email. Sandra effing Bullock. She bugs me, too. What a hose bag. She definitely ain't all that. That girl needs a boob job and a ball gag. So I think you can see. I think you can see, Kevin. There's your brother.
That's not my brother. I wouldn't go anywhere near that far. I just said she bugs me. That's it.
Here's a Kevin B. Lister who suggests that maybe he and his wife have been listening to the program too much. You know how we talk from time to time about how it spills over into your regular life and maybe not everybody is a K&B fan?
Right. Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've gotten dirty looks from my wife and others when we'll be somewhere and, you know, some Asian guy will come up on the screen or something and I'll go, hey! And then everybody turns around and looks at me like I'm the fool.
Yeah.
Well, my wife and I were watching America's Got Talent the other night. It was the results edition. Nick Cannon had the mic, and he said, the act that will go through, and both my wife and I at the same time turned to each other and said, dare not speak its name. Oh. Apparently, we've been listening to too much of the Kevin and Bean show.
Yeah.
It happens to all of us
where we're out in public and we say something that makes sense in this room, in this environment, but the environment that we're out in is not the same one.
Yeah. So,
Bean is obsessed with a weather chick on Channel 4?
I don't know.
KNBC in Los Angeles has Alita Laresca, who's a very hot Asian with huge boobs that does the weather. I do love her.
Hey, guys, been a listener to the show for over 12 years. Never felt the need to write you except for now. This is the one thing that finally broke his silence.
Okay.
I used to live in SoCal, moved to the Bay Area. When the show began streaming plus podcasts, I thought it's about effing time. In return, I'd like to make you all aware that on LA's newest – boy, this is poorly written. I'm sorry. I'm trying to make it make sense. In return, I'd like to aware you all on the LA's newest weather girl.
Okay. That's how it's written. I would like to be awared.
And she's not any normal weather girl. This one is something else. She used to be the Bay Area's hottest weather girl, and now she's LA's. Gentlemen. I bring to you Channel 9's Evelyn Taft.
Yes.
Have you guys seen her?
I've seen Evelyn.
No, because I don't really cruise the weather girls.
I don't either. But I'll tell you the one thing that has happened, and it happens, I think, across the country. It happened on CNN. I think everywhere. They are now hiring hot.
No,
yes,
yeah.
They are. It's Fox News has the highest percentage of unbelievably hot anchors and reporters of any channel in the country. It's amazing how hot their talent is.
Yeah. So this guy's pointing this one out. So
This Evelyn Tapp, unfortunately I can't receive Channel 9 where I live. So I'm bummed out. I can't watch her every day, but I have checked out her YouTube clips and she's absolutely worth it. Here's a couple of emails regarding our topic about irrational fears that we were due recently. We were talking about the woman who was afraid of bananas. She had the banana phobia.
Right.
And listeners were calling in with crazy stuff. They both happened to involve the shower. This one from Nicholas. I was listening to your podcast. I wanted to share my girlfriend's irrational fear. She is absolutely terrified that a whale will come through the shower head. It's crazy as hell.
Whoa.
She knows that it can't happen. She knows that it's crazy, but she constantly checks every time she gets in the shower to make sure that the shower head is on tight because she has visions of a whale coming through.
Does she know the size of a whale?
Look, they're irrational fears, Kevin. Well, hey, I've given this a great deal of consideration, and I think it's possible. But irrational.
But usually it's like maybe you're afraid of a shark in a swimming pool. Well, there's no way that's going to happen.
No, but at least it could fit in a swimming pool.
Coming out of the shower head. That's bizarre.
Tony writes in, when I was 5 or 6 years old, my crappy babysitter let me watch the movie Psycho. Again, he's 5, and he's watching Psycho, the Alfred Hitchcock classic. Well, I'm 27 now, and I still can't go into a bathroom without checking behind every single shower curtain to make sure no one is in there. F shower curtains. That's what Tony said.
Here's one that came to us from Mark about our topic of do-it-yourself healthcare.
Oh, yeah.
I stabbed my friend with a sword in the ass. Now, I think that's what this is about. I'm not sure what it says.
I hope that's not a euphemism.
Not coming from West Hollywood. Because he punched me in the groin 3 times during the 2007 Stanley Cup, where my favorite team, the Ducks, were playing. I used duct tape and liquid bandages to try and keep it closed, but it bled all night, and I took him to the hospital 7 hours later, and he had to get 3 stitches. A week later, I took them out of with a pair of pliers. Needless to say, he never hit me in the groin again, Mark.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
By the way, the answer to the question of home health care is duct tape.
It does everything.
90% of the people that called said, oh, yeah, duct tape.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And I have one on that topic, too. This is from Dr. Moe, who, unlike Dr. Drew, is an actual real-life doctor.
Dr. Drew is an actual doctor, and we're talking to him in 10 minutes.
Dr. Moe is a surgeon who listens to our show, who we've had on many times on the program. He says, dear Kevin and Bean, I was catching up on your podcast about self-surgery. You know those scissors that kids use in kindergarten to cut Play-Doh and construction paper, the ones that are plastic and blunt?
Yes.
Well, I just had a guy in who tried to remove a hemorrhoid from himself using those scissors.
From himself? How do you even...
What a bloody mess,
How
Dr.
do you
Mo.
Even see and reach?
A mirror? I don't know. But that is an image that will stick with you for the rest of the day.
Yeah, don't
and
do that.
And finally, from the Kevin and Bean email bag, dear Kevin and Bean, I think, personally, that Bjork sounds great.
Nope.
Sincerely, Yoko Ono.
Dr. Drew Pinsky is an addiction specialist.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
The host of Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew on VH1.
Jay Bangalanga, put a J hat on your DeBozak.
And author a terrific book, The Mirror Effect, How Celebrity Narcissism is Seducing America.
Dr. Drizzle in the hizzle for schnizzle.
And can be heard on the nationally syndicated radio show, Love Line.
Nel tuaglio credo in eserato iri.
Gonna bust my flow all up on your grill.
Music cues, I sues, I'm muse, I cues, I'm twos, I'm cues at. You zoo, my kizzer, who zizzer, I zee.
Please welcome Dr. Drew Pinsky, everybody.
It has definitely been too long since we played the big Dr. Drew intro, and we only play it because we know you hate it, Doc. How are you?
Mike and I had a long conversation last night about how great it is the way you make everyone, one of your guests, feel absolutely and completely uncomfortable.
That's our goal, at least, yeah.
Well, Dr. Drew, it's always great to catch up, and we look forward to our Thursday visits. And producer Alex was just telling us that your little cast from the 16 and Pregnant and the spinoff, The Teen Mom, have all become celebrities in their own right. There's so much drama going on with those kids. Almost can't get away from them anymore.
Well, the drama's always been there. I mean, look, how are you going to be 16 or pregnant and not have a ton of drama in your life? But the fact is they're on the cover of Us Weekly all the time now, and it's very bizarre. And, you know, we had a reunion with them just last week. I was in New York, and we filmed another reunion. It was probably the most intense one I've done with them yet. And they said in spite of all that attention, they still are in their little small towns, and people barely pay attention to them, and their lives really haven't changed as a result.
Tell people about Caitlin and Tyler and why they're such, I would say, exceptional, but maybe they're not. Maybe the path that they're on is common for people who are 16 and pregnant.
No. These are 2 16-year-old kids that got pregnant and gave the child up for adoption and went through it really, I know how to describe it other than a really mature and complete process in establishing an open adoption for their child. And in fact, it's funny, you know, being when I first did a reunion I do reunions for all the 16 and Pregnant cast and then the Teen Mom cast. And when it was still season one of 16 and Pregnant, first thing I did when I got to New York, I pulled those two kids aside and I just said, look, do you understand how exceptional you are? I mean, what you have been through. Now, having said all that, it's funny watching them start to grow up. Now the chaos of that family system, you know, Tyler's dad and Caitlin's mom are married. And they all live in the same house.
All right, wait.
It's craziness. And
all right, wait.
In jail.
Okay, wait, hold on. So the couple, the 16 and pregnant couple.
Yes.
The girl's mom broke up. Marriage broke up.
Yep.
And the guy's parents' marriage broke up.
Yep.
And then one of the dads is now living with one of the moms?
Tyler's mom? Dad and Caitlin's mom are married.
You don't even see that on Cops.
No.
That's crazy.
And Tyler's dad, Butch, has not been out of jail but two of the last maybe 15 years.
Well, how
oh my
is,
God.
How are, yeah. It sounds like the 16 and pregnant couple is the most mature part of that whole situation.
Absolutely. And the craziness of that family is that the Butch and April, the parents, are constantly bashing the children for having given up their blood to somebody else and all this stuff.
Oh.
And the kids literally say, who are you to talk? You
yeah, no kidding.
You know anything about parenting. And yet, the kids are really exceptional, in spite of all the crazy. Now, what I was going to say is that to Caitlin, I noticed this time when I spent time with them, was beginning to appear kind of worn down, changed by all the chaos in her family. So we did a lot of work on, you know, sending everybody to Al-Anon and April to 12-step programs, and those kinds of things came up finally for the first time.
Dr. Drew, we have I don't think we've ever spoken much about adoption when we've had you on this program here, but I mean, maybe
it's such a common topic on Kevin and Bean. I don't understand why we haven't really adopted that topic.
Maybe because of the Caitlin and Tyler story, maybe this will get talked about more. But I mean, what do you think about the current adoption laws in terms of, you know, people who give up parents to their kids for adoption and then they want to remain, they don't want the kids to be able to find it, but increasingly more and more people are saying that's not the way it ought to be, and you ought to be able to go and search out your birth parents if you want to. Where do you come down on some of those laws?
Well, I don't think anybody says it has to be one particular way. I think it really is up to the adopting and the adoptive parents and the kids that are giving up the children or the adults that are giving up the child. And in the case of Caitlin and Tyler, having now sort of seen the arc of what they go through, it's pretty cool when they can make it open. However, what I noticed is the parents who are doing the adopting get kind of nervous about it. Like they're fearful that someday the biological parents are going to go, change my mind. It's too intense.
Remember that whole thing
I was a kid then, now I decided something different. And you know, I can understand it. It's very dicey, and it's a hard line to walk. But I think the open adoption, in my estimation, if you can do it, is the way to go.
Where are we headed in teen pregnancy in this country? Is it less likely than it used to be, or is it still a persistent high-percentage problem?
Still ridiculously common. We do a poor job relative to other industrialized country. We've done better in recent years, but it's sort of plateaued and maybe ticked up a little bit. You know, when you look internationally, the big thing about – I can't believe we're having this conversation, Kevin and Bean.
Hey, listen. Really, hey, we're mature, man.
We cover everything.
When I think of you guys, that's the word that pops into my head. So what's Mike doing there?
Being quiet.
The fact is, though, that internationally people look at – young people and the media as assets and partners in this campaign, while in this country we look at the media and the kids as the problem. And we really need to kind of change our attitudes towards these things and really – we have been. The campaign to end teen pregnancy has been an important part of the whole Teen Mom series, and they are very much enthusiastic about the impact these shows are having.
All right, last question for you on this, Dr. Drew, and I know everybody's out of time. Sarah Palin and others say abstinence only is the way to teach in school. What say you?
Well, I think that's you know, been shown to be clearly not the case. And listen, if there was really good scientific data to suggest that's the way to do it, that's what we would do. But it's interesting that these teen moms, nothing's more powerful than a relatable source for kids. You know what I mean? That's why Loveline works. It's because they're hearing their peers have these experiences, and it really draws them into the experience. And the teen moms all come down on the side of, you know, waiting and don't having sex and, you know, being more towards abstinence. And that's a much more powerful message from coming from a kid that has been sexually active and talks about that experience than just saying, hey, just don't do it. Let's not talk about it.
All right. Celebrity Rehab comes back Thursday, October 14th at 10 on VH1. Dr. Drew's also on Loveline. He's he plays an ape on some show.
Talk to an ape. How
yes,
dare you?
He's 16 and pregnant. He's got Sober House. And then that's not enough. You're on every network tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, the Stand Up to Cancer thing. Yes, thank you for bringing that up. I really appreciate it. This is a very cool event. It's basically a fundraiser, awareness-raising campaign, Stand Up to Cancer. It's going to be at 8 o'clock Pacific time, 7 o'clock Central. Go to sutc.org if you want to know more about it. Yes, very cool.
And they're all covering it, all of the networks.
All the networks are covering it. It's a lot That's of cool. people are campaigning. Celebrities are going to be there manning the phones. It reminds me of kind of that Haitian relief campaign they had, but
right.
this is really going to be a great event.
All right. Thanks for contributing to that. Have a great time tomorrow night, Dr. Drew. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, dude.
Thank you.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:55.
Because nothing says the NFL like a Taylor Swift concert. We'll talk to Rich Eisen from NFL Networks all about the kickoff of the NFL campaign that starts tonight and everything that's going on in his channel, too. I love Rich so much. I've missed Rich, haven't you guys?
No, because he's on the NFL Network every day.
But he's not on our show, though. It's been a long time since we've had him on the program.
But
that's
the NFL
all.
Network is worth watching all year long.
It is. It's really good. They got great, great stuff on that.
So don't be bad.
So anyway, that's coming up here on the Kevin Meade Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Well, it's been a rough time for Joe Francis of Girls Gone Wild fame.
Oh,
first he was complaining that Jerry O'Connell was playing him in Piranha 3D. Remember, he was all bitching about that. You're making me look bad by making that guy do drugs and videotape underage girls. Oh, wait a minute. If he just dodged his taxes, then it would be me.
Yeah.
Now he's upset because a guy who worked with him, a former employee named Ryan Simkin, has written a tell-all book called Flash, Bars, Boobs, and Busted, 5 Years on the Road with Girls Gone Wild.
That sounds like a great book.
Yes, it does.
Yes, and this guy is not happy with his former boss, Joe Francis, and Joe Francis is suing to try to stop him from selling that book. Now, the stories coming out of this book that we're getting are spectacular. First and foremost is the one that has been leaked today from the author, where he talks about the fact that Joe was in a serious relationship with Paris Hilton in the course of his time that he spent working for Joe. And the guy called him up and said, look, I'm in France, and Paris is coming to meet me, but we need drugs. So I need you to go buy 20 hits of ecstasy and 4 8 balls of coke for me. And then Paris is going to bring it with her to France when she meets me here. And dude's like, well, I can get the drugs. It's not an issue. But how are you going to get them into the country? How are you going to smuggle them into France? He said, oh, don't worry about it. She's got it handled. So the guy buys the drugs and he goes to Paris, who's doing a photo shoot. And he gives her the 8 balls of blow and the ecstasy. And he says, are you flying private? He goes, no, commercial. He goes, well, how do you think you're going to get these drugs through customs? And she proceeded to demonstrate, basically, how she would smuggle the drugs in her vagina.
Plug the damn hole.
No way.
Apparently, that's how Paris gets her drugs around. She smuggles them in her hoochie.
Hey, I saw how to get them to the Greek. That's where you go, man.
True.
You got to put it somewhere.
She held the box in her right hand, says Ryan Simkin in the book, and then with an underhand swoop like a lowercase J, she demonstrated exactly how she intended to beat airport security.
I got a taco right here.
She even whistled as she did it. A little alley-oop. Straight up. There.
How about that?
Now, if they had, like, drug-sniffing dogs or something, that... Well,
the dog would not want to get.
No,
that's
not the point.
Dog would pass out.
Running out of the airport.
The point is, would it be safe from a drug sniffing dog? I mean, would they not be able to?
In Paris's, yes.
Okay.
It wouldn't be safe from a drug sniffing seagull.
Because they have those.
They would automatically be drawn to the smell of fish.
Nope.
I would think that Paris would be likely to sue over this book, by the way, if in fact it gets released.
Please.
You know?
Paris claimed she thought she was smuggling gum in her vagina at the time, by the way. So she didn't even know.
Girls, come and see my vagina. Oh.
That's where I keep all my drugs.
Lindsay Lohan
is eager to tell her side of the story.
Oh, good. For what price?
Well, here's the thing. She may be doing it for nothing.
What? No, no, that's not our Lindsay.
Lindsay Lohan may make a stop at the Oprah Winfrey Show this fall. Things are heating up in a good way, a source tells RadarOnline.com. Definitely some good conversations. We're crossing our fingers and we're hoping that it works out for Oprah's last season. You know, this is the 25th and final season of Oprah.
Yeah.
Which begins filming on Monday. And apparently people close to the organization say that the possibility of Lindsay stopping by to talk about her recent jail and rehab stint are very good.
Why would she do that?
Well, I'm guessing she would sell a print interview first to make the money and then go on Oprah for the positive pub and try to get some
maybe the publicity rehab is more important to her
than in the
money.
Long run.
Who knows?
I don't think there's any reason she can't do both.
But, don't you think if Oprah had her on that she would say don't do any other interviews first?
Or? No TV interviews, certainly.
Oh, I see what
you're saying. Look, a high-profile print interview would actually generate more interest to people to tune in to the Oprah show and watch her say the things that they've read about.
They're not
mutually exclusive. I'm sure they would ban her from doing any other Today show or Dateline NBC or anything else, but I think
she could do both.
She could do both.
All right.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Anyone?
Yes.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yes, please.
I just want to make sure you're paying attention.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was rhetorical. I didn't know.
It is not rhetorical. Hugh Grant is 50 years old today. Actor-comedian Adam Sandler is 44 years old today. Model actress Rachel Hunter celebrates her 41st birthday. Singer Michael Bublé celebrates his 35th. And actress Michelle Williams is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget, every time you hear the band Muse play on our program, pick up the phone, be caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067. Win your way into the Muse soundcheck and have a shot at winning Matt Bellamy's guitar right from the stage. Here's a hint. We got Muse for you this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm a little bit worried about talking to Rich Eisen here because I know how much Ralph has been counting down the seconds to the NFL season kicking off. I feel like we need to put up a splash guard or something just to make sure that there's no kind of, you know what I'm saying. I'm a little bit nervous.
It doesn't about how. Here's the problem with the schedule. The schedule is everything's going on at the same time. You got basketball, you got hockey, football.
Doesn't matter. Football's the only thing that matters.
I know, but then there's a season where there's only baseball. If you're not a baseball fan, then the football season just is so huge.
That is dead.
Right, exactly. Well, no one does it better than our friend Mr. Rich Total Access Eisen from the NFL Network, who joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show after too damn long away. How are you, Rich?
How are you guys?
Rich, I know I say this every time you're on, but the NFL Network, not great just during the season. I watch all year long, and you guys are constantly doing quality programming on that network.
Bless you and your entire family for that.
Hey, Rich, before we talk about what's going on in New Orleans today, and I know you've got the 2010 kickoff, what's the latest on the Tom Brady car crash that we heard about? We saw some headlines on that this morning. What are they telling us?
Well, I think what we have confirmed is Boston is the worst driving town in the United States of America.
Right.
It is the only town I've ever been where somebody was driving onto the off-ramp I was getting off of the highway on.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the details of the accident. Was it his fault?
I don't know, actually. Apparently, it was an accident in which they needed to pry Tom out of the car, but he's fine.
Wow.
Okay.
Rich, is there any truth to the rumor that he hurt his vagina?
Wait a minute. I need to get back to you.
All right. Let me know.
All right.
So I guess you're a Patriot hater then.
Well, he's an Eagle fan.
I'm an Eagles fan, Rich.
What are you supposed to do? You're bitter from Super Bowl 39 still. You're a bitter man.
Like McNabb, I'm still throwing up about that game.
You're on your sixth. Well, actually, that's odd that you would use that phrase to describe a game that Donovan McNabb actually, threw up.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Let's talk about NFL Total Access 2010 kickoff. That starts today at 4 o'clock East Coast time on the NFL Network. I know, reintroduce your band of merry men that you're going to be on the TV with and what's going to be going on.
I'm going to be with Marshall Faulk and Deion Sanders in Jackson Square in the brutal heat and humidity down here. There's a Dave Matthews Band and Taylor Swift will be performing. We'll dip into those live concerts and talk football and get you set for the game tonight. I can't believe it's finally here.
Oh, this is getting to be a bigger and bigger thing. It used to be, the Super Bowl was the big party and all the entertainment and stuff. But the last couple of years, the kickoff is now getting to be.
And with Favre back in the Superdome for the rematch of that incredible NFC Championship game. It's a perfect way to kick it off. This is a highly anticipated game, no matter when it's played. But the fact that it's the first game in New Orleans as well, where they're going to be raising a championship banner for the first time, a sight that nobody ever thought they would ever see in this town. It's going to be, you know, a night game as well. Schools are being let out here in town at noon. I imagine there'll be lots of blue flu here in this town. Or
sure. Wow, sure do feel bad today not coming in.
So the crowd will be, shall we say, properly lubricated for tonight's event.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. So game one is Minnesota-New Orleans. It's tonight at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so exciting.
That's going to be great on NBC.
And the Saints, who have been a good team for a while now, are, you know, everybody's picking them to be, you know, they're an elite team now. It's all, everybody's talking about the Saints, the Colts, the Packers, the Ravens, a few other teams. I mean, those are the teams that are most expected to, you know, to go all the way.
Right.
But the beautiful thing about the NFL is there are always surprises, too. There are teams that we just don't get a read on yet, that we don't know how good they're going to be. And that's what's exciting, especially about week one.
Last year in our preseason fan poll, we had the fans rank the teams 1 through 32. The 15th best team, according to our fans last year going into the season, was the New Orleans Saints.
Wow.
So, as we all know, they were number one when it's all said and done. So,
anybody that's ever been in a football pool knows that you can't, if you just go with the line or whatever, the expectations, you will get destroyed every week. You can't.
Especially week one. You can't have
no idea. When people talk about lines and things of that nature, me being an NFL employee, I turn into like the unfrozen caveman lawyer. Like, you know, your gambling terms confuse me. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, sorry, yeah, good point.
Rich, as an Eagles fan, speaking of not knowing anything, for the first time in 10 years, I have no take on this team whatsoever. I don't know anybody's name. I don't know what's going on here. What's the word? What's the inside word from NFL, NFL Network about
this
team?
On your Eagles?
About the Eagles, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's obviously a big season in the fact that it's the first post-McNabb year,
right.
And it's the first McNabb-less year since Andy Reid took over.
And no Westbrook.
They've got Kevin Cobb.
Yeah.
And we'll see how he can adjust to being a full-time starter in the cauldron of the city of brotherly love and that tough division. And that's the one. If I was an Eagle fan, which you are,
yes,
I'd be more worried about the undersized defense than anything else. They've got their hands full. About getting after the quarterback and defending on the back end of their defense. They're going to have their hands full, certainly in that division.
Is there a sleeper this year that kind of everyone agrees it's going to do better than most people think?
I think the 49ers of that team. I think there's a lot of people who believe it's time for them to win that division, and that it's a division that's ripe for them to win, what with Kurt Warner no longer being the quarterback of the Cardinals and Pete Carroll having turned over half of his roster. And so I think a lot of people think that this could be the Niners' year to win that division.
But the Cardinals have Matt Leinart, so we got that going.
Not anymore.
What? It's been a rough calendar year for USC Trojans. In general. So
I wonder how many locks do you think Reggie Bush has on his door at his house right now? I mean, seriously, he's fortifying that place to make sure nobody gets in.
Well, he's got the money for it. Let's put it that way. And
This is the voice of Rich Eisen on the phone here on the Kevin DeBean Show, the lead anchor, of course, of the NFL Network, the best goddamn channel there is. NFL Total Access 2010 kickoff is today. But you've got – how many shows are you hosting or co-hosting this year on the channel, Rich?
Well, I'm doing the Sunday morning game day program this year. I'm going to be doing the Sunday morning pregame show, which starts at 6 a.m. out there in Los Angeles.
Sure starts does. At 6 a.m.
Yes, yep. That's all it is.
Thank God for TiVo.
4 freaking hours of football talk on Sunday morning, so I'll be doing that. And then I'm going to be doing the highlight show with Deion Sanders and Steve Mariucci before the Sunday night football game at 4:30. And then during the week, I'll be doing Total Access, and I'm entering the world of a podcast this year. Every Tuesday on NFL.com, I'll be conducting interviews with all sorts of folks, celebrities, football players, talking pop culture and football. And
you might die.
The very first podcast in the history of the NFL. They've never done that before. So
this is a ridiculous schedule.
Hardest working man in show business.
It's really unbelievable.
But thank God we're playing football. That's all I care.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, Rich, as I said when we brought you on, your visits are always appreciated, always welcome, and they're way too far and few between.
I mean, so let's do this a little bit more often.
Absolutely.
Yes, please.
Happy to come on other than just to celebrate the beginning of a season.
And get back to us on Tom Brady's vagina.
Let me write that down.
Okay. Yeah, look into it.
That's spelled with a V, right?
Yes. Okay. Correct. All right, Rich. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show.
You got it. Take care.
Hey, party people. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I've been looking forward to having this conversation on the air for a long time because this is something that has come up repeatedly over the past few years off the air, and I don't think we've ever talked about it, and that is, what's wrong with Jennifer Aniston? I look at her and I go, beautiful woman, wealthy woman, intelligent woman, articulate woman, talented woman, looks like a lot of fun. Why can't she keep a man?
Seems to have a sense of humor. My only answer for that is maybe she doesn't want a man, but
it's possible.
But having said that, hasn't she said many times in the press that she does?
Maybe yeah. She changed her mind.
I don't know.
I don't know.
There was that one Oprah interview she did. I don't remember. Maybe 2 years ago. It was kind of a famous interview where Oprah was really open and direct with her about Brad Pitt and everything. And she was pretty clear that she's looking and she's interested in settling down.
Getting married, having a kid, like most people do. But for whatever reason, it hasn't been able to work out. Now, Jennifer Aniston, of course, is most famous for Friends, for all the years that she was on the biggest show on TV. She'll always hold a special place in my heart because of Office Space, because she was the waitress with all the flair in Office Space. So I love her for that. And, of course, she was a co-star of our movie, Kevin and Bean's a rock star, if you recall.
I do not remember that.
Jennifer Aniston was in that movie, too.
Movie
here's some Here's some of the guys Jennifer Aniston has dated, okay? Some of the high-profile, of course, married to Brad Pitt. That's probably the one people most think of. Adam Duritz from Counting Crows, she dated for a couple of years. Actor Tate Donovan, she was reportedly engaged to. She dated Vince Vaughn, who you remember she co-starred with in The Breakup, which is one of her rare movie hits, by the way. She dated John Mayer for some time.
Maybe it's a lot of these guys burn and churn, is that how you say it? They go through a lot of people. Maybe these are the wrong guys to
These are the guys that do that as well.
John Mayer is not a guy who's
settling down.
They got women falling at their feet. Those aren't the guys that are going to settle down.
So is part of the problem for Jennifer Aniston not that there's anything wrong with her? It's just that she's picking guys who can't settle down and stay faithful unless they, like Vince Vaughn, wake up one day and decide now it's time?
Well, that was my
theory. Doesn't matter how great you are, if you're dating Vince Vaughn and he's not ready to get married, he's not going to stay with you.
That was my theory. If you're going from Vince Vaughn to John Mayer to Gerard Butler, and then you're just throwing your hands up, why can't I hold on to a man?
Right.
Look,
those
guys
are the wrong men to hold on to.
Literally millions of girls beating down their door trying to get access to their bedroom. Probably not the best choices if you're looking to settle down for the long term. Also,
but you know she has had to have dated other people that we didn't know about or whatever that aren't that type. You think that's the fault of hers is that she only goes for guys that won't settle down?
Not only are these guys not really good settle down material because so many women want them, but they're also other big A-list celebrities. And okay, when you're a $20 million picture chick, I think it's like there has to be some difference. There has to be some like kind of understood chain of command in the relationship.
See, I don't
and
get
if
that.
Both people are super A-list, there's probably super A-list ego, and it just doesn't really work out.
It is rare. That's true.
Kevin is right though in that she has dated other guys who were not super famous. For instance, in 2007, she dated a British model named Paul Sculter. Now you can say, yeah, but he's a model, so he has his choice of lots of chicks. But why wouldn't Jennifer Aniston be enough for this no-name guy? Why wouldn't he look at her and go, hot enough, nice enough, smart enough, rich enough? By the way, Forbes estimates she's one of the 10 richest women in entertainment and is worth over $110 million.
Wow.
So there's an awful lot of reasons to go ahead and say, yeah, I could get other chicks, but Jennifer Aniston is so awesome, I think I'm going to stay with her. What's that deal with that guy?
I honestly feel that might make it harder for her. Now, I know we all sit around and go, hey, a rich broad, that's great. We could but
yes,
there's a weird instinctive thing in most guys where it's like, I don't know if I want my lady making that much more money than me. It's kind of emasculating.
I do. I want a rich woman so that I don't ever have to work
they
again.
Don't
that's
want
what
you
I want.
Mean.
Well,
right,
well,
that's
I know.
Another problem. That's a whole different conversation.
Okay. Is it that she's picking poorly? And here's the question we're throwing out to you at 1-800-520-1067. Or is there some personal flaw with Jennifer Aniston, which, by the way, you have no way of knowing, you're only guessing.
Unless you know her.
That you think is the problem here. Because outwardly, she's got nothing but high marks. So on every conceivable checklist, every single item on that, I would rate her near the top in terms of having everything that you'd be looking for in a mate.
Not to mention the public's fascination with her. I mean, if you were to count the number of magazine covers that she's been on, it probably blows anyone else away. She's
every
on
other week.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, that might be a downside. That might be one detriment of dating Jennifer Aniston, is having to put up with that BS.
Yeah.
Because you're all of a sudden in the center of a tabloid hurricane every time you go out to dinner. And I can understand how that would be a pain in the ass.
Let's talk to Ophelia, and then we'll take a break and come back and take some more calls. Ophelia, you have a theory on this?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything wrong with Jennifer Aniston. I think she has to be picky. She was married to Brad Pitt.
Well,
so
yeah.
The guys that she dates have to meet her expectations. And, I mean, she's been married before. She, you know, she has to do it right the second time.
But Brad Pitt was not exactly a home run in the long term.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, so
even he left her for another woman, and they were married. So, again, exactly, we say, you know, what's wrong with Jennifer Aniston?
But who did he leave her for?
Yeah, good point.
Well, that's true. It's hard to compete with Angelina Jolie.
You don't have a choice if it's Angelina Jolie.
No.
So when you wait, now hold on a sec. So when you say she's being picky, you mean she's picking the wrong guy? She shouldn't be dating a Vince Vaughn or a John Mayer? Is that what you mean?
No, well, they don't measure up to him, to Brad Pitt, right?
Right. She's got to test the waters, and when they don't meet her expectations, then she moves on to the next.
So maybe that's her problem. Maybe the flaw that we're looking for is that she is comparing everybody to one person rather than just finding somebody who's good on their own?
No, I think the second what you just mentioned, I think that's what it is.
Mm. All right.
But hold on. She's never really denied the fact that most of these men leave her. I mean, she, with all the evidence
that
she's getting dumped, she's never come out and said, well, actually, that's not the way it went out. She's always kind of just gone with the flow that she's getting left by these guys. So, I mean, she can't be that picky if she's getting dumped.
Yeah,
well, that's a good point, too. She probably loses interest in just, you know, whatever.
Good. Yeah.
Okay, well thought out theory, Ophelia. Thank you very much. 1-800-520-1067. What are we missing? Because it seems like if somebody ends up dating Jennifer Aniston, she's the real deal. You stick with that. But for whatever reason, no one will. Is she going to be a lonely cat lady when she dies in an apartment like a hoarder at age 80? I mean, what's the deal here?
She'll be the hottest cat woman that ever lived.
She will.
1-800-520-1067. Your call's right after this on the Kevin and Bean. If you want to hear that song from Linkin Park, I'm assuming live, how about Breakfast with Linkin Park? They'll be performing, taking our questions, taking Kevin and Bean listener questions. It'll be airing Tuesday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't miss Breakfast with Linkin Park. That's also the day the new album is in stores, A Thousand Suns, available everywhere for retail and download. Right now, we're talking about Jennifer Aniston. We got a bunch of calls on hold at 1-800-520-1067. What's wrong with this woman? Why can't she keep a man? Why every 6 months does she have a new boyfriend? Who's leaving Jennifer Aniston and why? Those are the questions we're asking.
I think a more accurate question is there something wrong with
her? There you go.
I mean, I don't know for a fact that there is. Maybe.
No, there's something wrong with this hoe. Come on.
Oh, man.
Producer Alex has quite the feminine intuition. She's got a theory.
Good morning.
Hello.
I believe she is desperate. And guys can smell it. And
desperation is a pungent odor.
I think she just screams, marry me, have my babies. And Vince Vaughn's like, you want to grab a beer? That's about it.
You mind going out first just for a second, having a beer?
I think all of her actions don't match her words. If she wanted to have a family, she could have with Brad Pitt. So he bailed to go have 15 kids with Angelina Jolie. No. And then every guy after, like Mike was saying earlier, is not the guy you really marry or settle down yet. You know, those other men have moved on. But if she really wanted to be a mom, there are many ways that could have happened by now.
Yeah.
So I think it's weird.
Yeah, but then you got Bill O'Reilly yelling at you.
That's true.
But so you're saying that her problem is probably a very common problem for a lot of women who are in their late 30s, early 40s maybe, who just every guy that goes out with her knows that she's got her eye on, hey, I need to get married and have a baby at some point.
Yeah, I think women in her position struggle with, I want to date and I want to get laid, but I also want to get married and have kids. So how do I not come across as desperate but ask you that in the first 30 days on Match.com?
That does scare the hell out of guys. Right. That's true. All right, let's go to Bill and get his take on it. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
So, actually, to follow up on Alex, I think it's a matter of opportunism. I think by playing the victim after Brad Pitt, that's how she keeps her career alive. Can you name any other actor or actress who's had that many crappy movies but is endeared so heavily by the public?
That's a great point, because I was amazed by how long that drama went on.
Yeah.
With that Brad Pitt leaving her. Right after that, she was on every magazine cover for 2 years straight.
For two years straight.
And she's still on People magazine. Like,
right.
She's not, and everyone loves her, but every movie she makes is like a -2 on the 1 to 10 scale. But
yep, you're absolutely. And by the way,
by playing
Bill,
the
you're. That's a great theory, and thank you very much for the call. We got a bunch of emails from people who said that our friend Bill Simmons, the sports guy who does a very popular column and podcast, had a theory about Jennifer Aniston. It is very much like what Bill was saying, is that Jennifer Aniston resonates with women like no other celebrities, what he wrote. No matter how wealthy or famous or good-looking she is, the nuts and bolts of Aniston's quote-unquote tragic story could have happened to anyone. She lost her scummy husband to a seductive coworker. Maybe it was the worst thing that ever happened to her personally, but professionally it's a godsend. She now is America's adorable little victim for 7 years. And it doesn't matter what her movies do, people still love her and resonate as long as she's single. If she gets married, all of a sudden we lose all of that fascination with, oh, poor Jen looking for a husband. No, interesting theory.
But then I think you get the sequel. Then you get her new husband. Then you get all the babies.
Then they break up.
Then she's on TLC with popular. Her eight kids.
Let's try Monica on line six because she's got a theory based, I'm guessing, on absolutely nothing. Hi, Monica. Go ahead.
Hi.
We're all guessing.
Right.
Yes, what's your guess, Monica?
I honestly think she's like a behind-the-scenes, like, crazy, clingy person.
Now, crazy is one thing. Clingy is a little bit of the desperation thing.
Right. Yeah, like, I think she's one of those girls that, like, keeps a track record of, like, how many phone calls she's made and what time. And
that's Dizzy, another caller, which we don't have time to go to, says too high maintenance. Maybe that's part of it.
She could be like half a bag in with wine every Tuesday and hits redial.
Could be. I got 75 phone calls for Jennifer today. I can't take it.
Mark writes in, I can't stand Jennifer Aniston. I think she has weird-looking ears.
That's the reason.
And I hear through the grapevine she smells funny. Not sure if that's true. I don't think that's likely. All right, how about Brad on line 9? Let's see what Brad's got for us.
Hey, Brad.
What up, boys?
What do you think?
Well, I know. This is a...
Wait. You don't know. Have you dated her?
No, but I'm telling you.
You don't know.
I produce concerts for a living. I see a lot of stuff backstage. People getting high. Their mouths get a little mouthy. They talk a little bit too much than they should.
Okay.
And what I heard straight up from somebody who I know's been with her is she's just a bad leg. She's bad in bed.
She's bad in bed.
And he wasn't saying it to make her feel bad or, you know, to make the situation bad or, like,
no, it's a compliment.
Wait, like, the situation is involved with her now?
Dude, you guys know what I'm saying.
No, well, here's the thing. I mean, there is a correlation sometimes. The hotter the girl, the worse she is in bed, because she sure doesn't have to try. You know what I mean?
True, but she's had such a strong roster that by now, don't you think she would have picked up something?
Would Brad Pitt marry someone who was bad in bed?
Maybe that's a great question, Lisa.
Maybe he didn't know that. Well, right.
You know,
bad
for one person is not bad for another. Sometimes it's just a matter of different rhythm, different
Brad,
fit,
you talk
right?
To, you talk to one person? Hey, take it easy there. Love line. Brad, you talk to one person or you've talked to more than one?
What? You know what I mean? I knew it was telling me what was up, straight up.
And that person you trust because that person was
who?
High. Been with her and was a celebrity.
And was named.
And had no reason to lie.
And had the name of.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Well, that's a possible theory. By the way, she has so much else going on for her. I don't even care if she's bad in bed. That's not even a deal breaker for me.
Well,
right,
not
but
for
that's,
you.
That's because right. you're unusable down there. So that's the
Look,
difference.
Look, anyone I don't have to chloroform as far as I'm concerned is great in bed.
All right, Brad, thank you for the call. I was right. Hey, that's that band. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 8:57.
That is that band indeed that you're listening for. It's Muse on the Kevin and Bean Show. Cody Beck will be there to see Muse sound check and have a chance at winning Matt Bellamy's guitar handed to him from the stage by Matt himself.
Cody Beck.
It's his name, man.
Cody.
Every time you hear Muse, be caller 20 like Cody Beck did, and you could win from the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, it may be a new tact, a new arrow in the quiver of our man Spencer Pratt.
Oh, man.
How's he going to get our attention now? What can he do now?
Suicide?
To get into the limelight, to make everyone say, hey, what's that? What's Spencer Pratt talking about?
What?
It's a brand new approach for him.
Okay.
Not being a dick.
Oh, please.
He's not that good an actor.
Spencer Pratt has released the following apology to his soon-to-be ex-wife, Heidi Montag. Told People magazine, Divorce can be a trying, draining, and emotionally devastating experience for all involved. Despite these hardships, most individuals manage to conduct themselves with dignity and maturity. I did not. I failed spectacularly.
Who wrote that, really?
I horribly embarrassed the one person that meant the world to me. My outrageous and infantile behavior. For that, I offer Heidi my most sincere apologies.
Who's his publicist? Who wrote that?
Over the years, her love, support, and friendship were always given, but never properly cherished. I let her down. She never deserved the pain and anguish I put her through, and although I don't expect it, I hope in time she'll be able to forgive me.
Now it's going over the top. If he had quit after sentence two, I would have had some respect for him, but now it just is starting to sound desperate.
Even though our relationship has changed, I will always count her among my best friends.
What team of writers wrote that?
There you go. There's the apology, Spencer Pratt.
Showing his
humanity.
Don't buy it.
Yeah, not for a minute.
Don't buy it.
I
heard Spencer invented the apology.
Spencer, did you really write that, or is that your public relations team? What the hell is going on here?
I did, Bean. And I just wanted to say to Lisa over here, beautiful Lisa over here in the corner.
You know my name?
That you're looking great.
Wow.
And in fact, you should probably, think about eating a little more because you're getting too thin.
Put on a little weight, huh?
What's happening here?
You must be aging backwards. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Ralph.
Wow. How do you know
names? What's happening?
This is genuinely contrite.
That's weird.
Wow.
I don't know if I like the new Spencer.
I think now I'm a big fan of Spencer. It worked.
Not buying it.
You know, this is the 10th and final season of Smallville. I know. Try to hold back on the tears.
That's a really good show, but
it
does have to run out eventually, right?
Yeah, this is the final season, but it's a very, very exciting season because they just announced they're bringing Aquaman back. Woo! Woo!
Let me check my book. No, thank you.
This stuff goes over a lot better on my podcast.
Wait, you do a podcast? Room.
I do a podcast with Kevin Smith.
Oh, the Kevin Smith one. Okay.
What? What other podcast were you
thinking
of?
You said Mike podcast. I thought maybe you were doing another one we weren't aware of.
The podcast that I share with Kevin Smith. Right.
Yeah, of course he's more excited about it. Yeah.
No, but everyone is.
Yeah.
Lots of people.
Sure.
Very excited. Aquaman gets a big round of applause.
All right.
Over at the Smod Castle.
Aquaman's the weakest of all superheroes.
How dare you, sir?
He's weak sauce, right?
He is not.
But he talks
weak sauce.
To fish, though, doesn't he?
He talks to fish.
He has telepathic control over all marine life forms, which is pretty strong.
Which could be very helpful if bad guys are in submarines. But what happens when they're trying to
get in submarines?
Also, because he was raised on the floor of the ocean, Mike, you'll appreciate this. His musculature is so swole and so strong that when he gets out of the deep, deep pressure that the water puts on him when he's on land, he is 10 times the strength of an average human being.
I'm sorry, I don't speak geek.
Does he control million-year-old piranha?
Yes, if he wants to, he could.
Wow, that's something.
And he can throw water balls at you. How about that?
Oh,
that is not true.
How do you like me now?
He's me. Speaking of shooting moisture at someone.
A lot of the original cast returning to Smallville this season. John Glover's going to return as Lionel Luthor. John Schneider will return as Pa Kent. Even though he was dead. He died several seasons ago. He will be back. Laura Vandervoort.
Oh, yeah.
Who we love as Supergirl. She's also over there on V. She was on the V. She's on the V.
Is she on the V?
She's on the V.
She's on the V. That means something different if you watch.
James Marsters, Michael Shanks will turn as Hawkman. Very exciting season, so everyone's talking about it.
We need to do a call-in topic of the worst superhero, because there's a lot of them.
There are a lot.
Ant-Man blows.
They're all uniquely wonderful, Kevin.
Ant-Man.
Come on, Ant-Man.
How can you pick one child over all your children?
You love them all equally. None of these are my children.
Oh,
by the way.
Ralph, there must be a superhero, even you, who's willing to accept Aquaman and Ant-Man. Even you have turned your back on somebody, right?
I can't think of a one.
Oh, really?
Come on.
I cannot think of a one.
Silver Surfer's a bitch.
Silver Surfer rocks.
I love Silver Surfer.
He's
the messenger.
He's the harbinger of a dude that comes and eats your planet. And he surfs through the sky on a silver surfboard.
We need to
so cool.
We need to have Kevin Smith back in, and then we need to try and find one superhero that blows. There's got to be one.
No,
you can't accept everyone.
No, there's no. They're all superheroes are great.
That's ridiculous.
All right, maybe the Question.
What's that?
I'm never a big fan of the Question. A guy who could put up a flesh mask over his face, and he would be blank. He wouldn't have any face.
And then does he ask a question?
And then he asks a lot of questions.
You know, Lisa May. I was thinking of covering him.
Come on.
All right, good.
Question. He's got to be the leader
right now. Come on.
I'm saying I was never a big fan. Although
you shouldn't be. It's ridiculous.
Question fans.
No, there aren't.
Really?
Oh, the question died. Now it's a female took over. Now it's a female question.
Now, Ralph, forgive my ignorance, but
the female question is, does my ass look fat in his pants? That's the only question she asked over and over again.
Is his arch enemy the answer? Who does he fight? Who does the question go up against?
He fights a lot of people, Bean.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Fights a lot of crime.
Remember that battle on the rooftop with exclamation point? Oh, that was a tough issue.
You don't get it, man. He was almost taken down by the semicolon.
Oh.
Yeah, that was rough.
My God.
I don't care.
I'm out of time. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hugh Grant is 50 years old today. Actor, comedian Adam Sandler is 44 years old. Rachel Hunter. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Remember when you called her fat, Kevin, at the Kings game?
I do remember that. You called Rachel Hunter fat
at a Kings game.
Yeah. Then she came in.
She came in and defended herself against you.
Yeah, and she wasn't fat at all.
Why are you pissing everybody off?
That was a long time ago. Why do you have to bring that back?
Sandra Bullock, Rachel Hunter.
Kevin came in and he said, who is that chick? She used to be married to Rod Stewart. She's really fat now. And we're like, Rachel Hunter? He's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Woo, Parker. Woo. Double nachos. She was at the Kings game. We were just scarfing down. Woo, fat.
All right, I've been known to be wrong occasionally.
Wow. And then she came in. She couldn't have looked better.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Singer Michael Bublé.
Boobs.
Is 35 years old. I don't think his friends call him Boobs.
They should.
It's a great nickname. And actress Michelle Williams. Of course, famously married to Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
But a talented actress and beautiful girl in her own right. She is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I used to think Bean had much better musical taste than I did because my taste is pretty narrow.
Yeah.
But then I realized that his is so broad that if somebody makes a song, he loves it. He loves everything.
He does love everything.
There's nothing he doesn't like.
He really does.
But you know how we do things for that info.
Everything but Kesha, you mean.
Yes.
even I draw the line somewhere.
You know how we do things for that info, Bean, where we're playing commercials or a song. You're listening to a song, but we're listening to Bean talk. And he said something the other day that was so funny. What was it about? He said to you, Psycho Mike, something about driving around listening to Ghetto Boys.
I believe, Bean, you were listening to Joe Rogan's podcast or something. And
yes.
They had mentioned the Ghetto Boys. So Bean says, I heard him say the Ghetto Boys, so I got out my old Ghetto Boys album, and I was listening to it all day, and it's just so good, the Ghetto Boys.
Driving around, though.
Yeah.
He was driving around listening to the Ghetto Boys.
You weren't.
There's nothing better than a nice day. You guys know, you've all been there. There's a nice day, and you got the speakers cranked,
right.
And you're, you know, rolling deep, listening to a little Let a Ho Be a Ho. I mean, that's the way you want to spend your day, right?
First of all, you don't roll deep.
I was rolling
you
deep
don't,
that day.
You don't do that. I mean, for anyone else, we wouldn't even bat an eye. But for you, it's just bizarre to see.
I'm out there with my fly wheels. You know, come on.
Your fly wheels. You drive a Prius.
Yes. Yes, I do.
So you were driving around 6'6" Bean. DJ Spina Bifida is driving around in a Prius. Blasting the Ghetto Boys. Come on!
And being extremely aware of who I pulled up next to at a stoplight, too, by the way.
Were you singing? Do you sing with them or rap or whatever?
I sing a little. I mean, the ones I know. I mean, you know, we can't be stopped, obviously. I'm singing along with that.
Wait. Extremely aware of who you pulled up next to at a stoplight on the rural island in Seattle?
You're safe.
There was no danger of it being a brother, don't get me wrong. But had it been, I didn't want to be the guy who, you know, was blasted the Ghetto Boys.
Why? What do you think? They're gonna think you're mocking them or something? I don't understand that.
I don't know.
You're never aware of your surroundings, ever.
Because what he's not telling us is that he had a gold grill on.
You have a grill.
No, I didn't. It was an offhanded remark. I wasn't making a big deal. I was just telling Mike that it was a nice day, and I'd been driving around enjoying some Ghetto Boys and Little Bushwick Bill, and I had fun. That's all I was
saying. I'm just suggesting that if you and a Prius listening to Ghetto Boys is like a comic. That's a comic book. That's a comic. That's a comical scene in a movie. That's not real life. That's ridiculous. You and your clown car.
Don't try to put me in a box, man.
Can you imagine?
Blast, did you have the windows down?
Of course. It was a beautiful day. I had the windows down.
Blast the Ghetto Boys.
I told you I was rolling deep, man. I was livid.
I roll deep. Come on now. I'm not sure if you're aware, Bean, but the Kevin and me microphones were there.
Were where?
In the car.
Yeah. No. That's not
when
even possible.
You were driving around with the Ghetto Boys.
That's not. You lie. You lie.
This is Bean. In his Prius, listening to the Ghetto Boys.
What?
What a lovely day for a drive in the Prius. You know what I need right now? Some music. Let's see what I have in my CDs. Barry Manilow? No? Yeah. Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald? No? Here's one of my favorite ones. The Ghetto Boys. I need to pump some fat beats.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Oh, that's it. Damn, it does feel good to be a gangster. What's up, Holmes? I am a gangster-ass I think it's time to slice another cut off this for shizzle CD. Oh, this is relaxing. This reminds me of my days of a youth in Compton. I feel like busting a cap in some ass. I'm rolling deep. I really need to get some spinners on this Prius. And lower it. For shizzle.
You got to admit, the spinners is a pretty good idea, though, right? That's going to look sharp.
So that happened. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:38.
Ralph Garman is here for our final look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday. What's going on, Ralph?
Here's the thing about telling somebody they're superheroes. Not good, man.
Uh-oh.
No, people take it very personally. Right, getting a firestorm.
That's a problem for people who answer email.
here's an email from listener Kevin Molina. F you, Ralph. How dare you effing call the question the weakest of all the superheroes? He's one of the smartest individuals in the DC universe. How effing dare you? Even Batman respects the question as a fellow crime fighter. Doesn't have any natural superpowers except for the use of his mind. I've lost all respect for you that I once had.
Wow.
They take it seriously, man. I
hate to lose that guy's support.
I'm telling you. Listen. It's the flesh mask gimmick. It's just that's what loses me. He has to put on a fresh flesh mask every time he goes out.
Yeah, whatever you love, you have to be able to admit every once in a while there's a stinker. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, so there's got to be a bad superhero. To this guy who's defending the question, he's got to have somebody else who he goes, that's lame.
That's right. Oh, don't get me started on the Dazzler.
The Dazzler.
Dazzler, yeah.
The Bee Dazzler?
No, she was the Dazzler. She could turn sound into light.
Nope.
And she had disco roller skates that were jet powered.
That's just not true.
It was true.
You're making that up.
70s not a great time in comic books. Is what I'm saying.
No. How many superheroes are there, Ralph? Is it thousands? Hundreds? What?
Hundreds of thousands.
Wow.
Because you're not thinking just Marvel and DC. Then you've got the cars from Charlton and Moonstone and IDW. And, I mean,
you have to tell us.
There's so many different comic book publishers and publishing houses. And they all have their own superheroes.
Not all superheroes are created equal. That's what I'm saying.
Just saying.
Some are bad.
Just saying. You're going to run into some problems. You're going to tap. Someone's going to... Any superhero you say, that's going to be somebody's favorite.
Somebody wants to get mad at me for hating Ant-Man.
Yes.
I can live with that.
You will get a maelstrom.
I can live with it. I'm good with that. I don't care. Ant-Man. He controls ants.
It's one of the founding members of the Avengers, man. You can't go after the OG superhero.
Dude. Especially. How hard is it to get away from ants?
He's not getting away from ants. He has the power. He controls ants with his mind.
Right. So they come after me. How hard is it? I step on them. I move on. I win. Ant-Man loses.
Sir. He later became Giant Man. So he's got that going for him.
What's
too.
What's Giant Man?
He later became Giant Man. He had a different superpower where he could be a giant.
Well, how did that happen?
Lisa, we don't have time. I just don't have time. I can't tell you everything about Hank Pym and his history. One of the great secret identities of all time, by the way, Hank Pym.
Hank Pym. But let me ask this one question just for clarification here. Because Kevin talks about how, the guy sends the ants after you, just step on him. But doesn't he harness the power of millions of ants who could they could eat Kevin alive in 15 seconds, right?
I could step on a million ants in 30 seconds.
No, you can't.
Yeah, just do a little dance on their little heads.
A swarm of...
Dead.
Do ants swarm? What do you call it? Troop? A colony? A colony of ants come after you. They would strip you like little piranhas.
If I was paralyzed, yes. But I'm not. I can walk. I have feet.
Can't you get like a can of Raid and just serve his entire family forever?
Come on now.
You guys don't know. You just don't know.
We do know.
Plus, ants have, you know, proportionate to their size. They're like, they strongest can lift something, yeah, strongest animal in the world.
Right.
So that. So okay. That also factors into the equation.
Does that keep Raid from working?
You don't get it, man.
All right.
All right. We'll save that for another day. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? New book on Joe Francis, creator of Girls Gone Wild by a former employee, has gotten Joe very nervous. He's threatening to sue to stop the sale of this book that's called...
Asshole.
It's called Flash. Bars, boobs, and busted. 5 years on the road with Girls Gone Wild. In the book, Ryan Simkin is the name of the author. He tells a story about how when Joe was dating Paris Hilton, Joe called him up from France asking him to buy drugs because they were having a hard time getting them there in France and to deliver them to Paris so that when she came to visit him, she could bring the drugs with her. Okay. Turns out he was wondering... This Ryan Simkin was how they were going to get the drugs into the country since she was flying commercially. Turned out that Paris came up with a novel use for her vagina.
Whoa.
And okay. If there's a girl who can do it, I think it's Paris. Come up with a wonderful use for her vagina.
Probably.
Vagina.
She said she would smuggle the drugs through that and, technique.
And who's saying that? That's the guy that was working for Joe Francis?
Right, who bought the drugs and delivered them to her, and then he asked her, how are you going to get these? You're flying commercially. How are you going to get them into France? She said, watch. Woo-hoo.
Like this?
Like this.
Okay. I wonder if, that's got to be pretty common for people who regularly travel with drugs. Well, I mean, that's just a pretty safe way to go.
Yeah. One of the great things about being a woman, you got an extra purse. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's true, yeah.
You walk around like a freaking marsupial. You can keep anything in there. Babies, drugs, car keys, loose change. Look at Machete. A girl keeps a cell phone there. Cell phone.
And that has to be more comfortable than the other way, which is swallow the balloon and then have to pass it later and all that kind of nonsense. Sure. Get you out of that Maria Full of Grace kind of situation.
Sure. That's an expandable space right there.
Yeah, right.
If it can fit a baby, if it can stretch to the size of a baby.
It's a lot of drugs.
You can carry a bowling ball.
It's certainly not comfortable.
You can carry a small turkey or at least a large goose if you're going to dinner. You carry some sort of casserole dish if you're going to a potluck. I'm just saying, ladies, you're not using it to its fullest advantage.
Some of you are.
It's not just for breakfast anymore is what I'm saying.
So if you were a woman with no arms, A, Kevin would hate you, how but B, you would be able to carry lots of stuff around, even though you didn't have arms, because you'd have some place to put it all.
Now, how would you put it there?
That's true. That'd be a problem, too.
Squat thrust.
It's just a vagina.
Well, it's a magical, wonderful thing.
And that's true.
And we can all agree on that. We care about it deeply. Speaking of which, Kat Von D, according to In Touch Weekly magazine, may be in a family way, as they used to say.
Vagina.
She may be with child.
She might be pregnant.
Yeah, they're saying that the relationship between Jesse James and Kat Von D has become public so soon because they may be announcing something else about their relationship soon. In Touch Weekly claims that photographers are claiming her tummy is looking a little bigger these days, and perhaps there's a medical reason for that.
That's what they're basing it on?
Not just Krispy Kremes. Not just too much funnel cake at the state fair.
That's always shaky, because if they're not pregnant, then it's super offensive.
It's super insulting.
Maybe she went to Shakey's, and she got the bunch of lunch. Maybe that's why she's a little paunchy. Just saying.
Oh.
Justin Bieber has very strict rules about how you must approach him if you're a fan.
This doesn't surprise
me. He says he loves to meet his adoring fans, but yelling and screaming at him will not work, he says. He says the best way to approach him is to give him a hug and ask how he's doing.
Wow.
I'd like to give him a hug. With the jaws of life.
What?
Right around his cranium. Pop him like a melon. Snooki was in court yesterday. She had to face the music for those charges where she was drunk. And she knocked over the guy who was taking a shower on the beach. And she was molesting people on the boardwalk. She was a public nuisance. At least that's what the court said. They also charged her with disorderly conduct and drunken in public. She pled guilty to the annoyance charge. The other two were dropped. $533 in fines and 2 days mandatory community service is all she was slapped with. But the judge gave her a stern talking to. Judge Damian Murray.
You think that helped?
Called her a Lindsay Lohan wannabe. Said her behavior was rude and self-indulgent. Then asked her to decide if it was worth trading your dignity for a paycheck.
Has he watched that show?
Yeah, trust me.
Come on now.
I trade my dignity for a paycheck every day here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's well worth it, trust me. Dignity is cheap.
We've got Snooki.
Dignity is cheap. And here's a sad news. Apparently, in Northwest Florida, there was a bit of a scuffle between 34-year-old Shannon Kriska and her husband, Robert.
Okay.
Shannon got furious with her husband, tried to set fire to his boat, his go-kart, and his jacuzzi. And it's hard to set fire to a jacuzzi, by the way.
How do you set fire to a jacuzzi?
Not simple. Why was she so upset? Because they were watching a Jennifer Lopez movie together, and she thought he thought she was too attractive.
What?
She got jealous of J-Lo.
But he didn't have an affair with anyone.
Nope.
He just said, wow, she's
they
hot.
They were watching the movie together, and apparently she thought he was a little too attracted to Jennifer Lopez.
Hmm. Hey, anybody who's had a girlfriend or a wife knows that you regulate your comments about the movie person that you're looking at on the screen. You don't sit there on the couch the whole time talking about how hot she is.
Shannon faces arson and battery charges.
Wow.
Wow.
Apparently the jacuzzi is fine. The boat is partially damaged, but the go-kart is a total loss.
That's a write-off.
By the way, they were watching the movie in their trailer. No surprise there.
Well, there you go.
In Florida, in a trailer, and police say alcohol was involved.
Oh, really? Interesting. Mm.
So there you go.
Wraps it all up nicely.
What? Oh, come on.
Yeah! I didn't even get a chance. The whole reason.
I want to cut you off at the pass.
Gotta nip that one in the bud.
I didn't want to take any risks there.
You son of a bitch. And a former bodyguard for Britney Spears is suing the singer for sexual harassment and abuse. TMZ.com says Fernando Flores claims Britney would repeatedly expose herself in front of him and made unwanted sexual advances toward him while he was employed. And he's suing for that. She's so repugnant, he's now suing her for unwanted sexual advances.
That's a dream of most guys.
It was. It,
it
used to
for
be.
A while, yeah.
Yeah. Remember we were talking about sound we could retire earlier this week?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the hard-to-identify Britney Spears laughing. Maybe another file we want to take a look at.
I'm telling her.
Kevin does creepy.
He does seem married to it, though, doesn't he, Ralph?
He does like that one a lot. The guy also claims Britney asked for his belt once so she could use it to beat her son Preston with.
Oh, no.
Ouch. Oh, wow.
Wow. And he also claims that she fed both of her kids crab meat even though they have serious shellfish allergies. So a lot of claims in this lawsuit are making Britney look not so hot.
Why, Britney? Why?
And more parenthood news. Congratulations. Mike Tyson's wife, Lakia, is pregnant.
Oh, good.
With Mike's eighth child.
Wow. God.
So, congratulations to that fun couple.
Eighth child.
I just want to keep having children until eventually I can field a baseball team.
Wow.
It's their second, his eighth.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Adam Sandler is 44 years old today. Actor Hugh Grant turns 50. Model Rachel Hunter celebrates her 41st birthday. Singer Michael Bublé is 35. And actress Michelle Williams. You know, Dick? You ever seen Dick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great movie.
Great movie. Michelle Williams.
Funny.
And Toothy. What's her name?
Yeah.
Kirsten Dunst.
Yes.
Very
yes.
entertaining film. Check it out on Netflix if you've never seen it. It's about Richard Nixon. President Richard Nixon. It takes place during Watergate in the 70s. Very entertaining film. I often think of that when I think of Michelle Williams. Think of Dick. She is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. It's Friday morning. That means we have the movie beat. We also have Adam Carolla this week in Rage.
Hey.
What if I told you that you could get a ringtone that made your breasts bigger?
I'd say no thank you.
Well, not you. I mean, I'm saying for women.
I'm sorry.
For the most part.
My bad.
Well, that's way easier than surgery.
Sure is. We have LaQuisha on the Jersey Shore. Can't wait.
Okay.
And David L. Greer will be here.
You heard me.
Wow. We did, and that's the problem.
I didn't catch his name.
Should
sorry.
I slow it down? David Alan Greer.
What did you do?
That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Dear Kevin and Bean, after Kevin takes on Michael Clark Duncan, I think his next battle should be with a colony of ants. There sure was a lot of smack talk. The only thing that can show Kevin how wrong he is a battle in the octagon. So says Greg. We may have to set that up. Someone named Kat Corbett is apparently up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock.
I'm up next.
Including waiting for the
Look
end
at my
new
dog.
Song from Lincoln Park. Also, some Everlasting
it's,
Killers.
She's not fat.
And You Know What to Do When You Hear Muse. That'll be part of the next hour right here on the world famous K-Rock.